This is PFW in progress.
Come to the coast. We'll get together. Have a few laughs.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
That is.
I am in charge of this situation.
Oh, you're in charge.
Well, I got some bad news for you. I'm not the one who just got butt f***ed on national TV.
Brian Morey.
I wanted this to be professional, efficient, adult, cooperative. Not a lot to ask. So he won't be joining us for the rest of his life.
Paul Perillo.
Roy, you all right?
Just trying to fire down a thousand-year-old twink.
What do they put in these things anyway?
Sugar-enriched flour, partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, Ollie's sorbet 60, and yellow dye number 5.
And Andy. And Andy?
Mayday, mayday. Anyone copying Channel 9? Terrorists 6 or more armed with automatic weapons at Nakatomi Plaza.
This channel is reserved for emergency calls only.
Andy Hart.
Lady, do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?
Some guy named Tom.
Just another American who saw too many movies as a child. Another orphan of a bankrupt culture. I think he's John Wayne, Rambo, Marshall Dillon.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
PFW in progress.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
All right, and welcome to PFW in progress. Let's go.
Did your mother ever teach you not to chew with your mouth full?
Well, I don't know.
Not to chew with your mouth full?
I thought I had a few... I thought I had a...
Why else would you chew?
Second, the lorry. There's no lorry. So I got caught off.
That's an older open.
Has Brian Morey in it.
It says he won't be joining us for the rest of his life, that's why.
Oh.
All right, PFW in progress for a Wednesday, June the 21st, 2006.
Longest day of the year, right?
Hey, how are you?
Oh, yeah, I think it is.
Today. No, I can't hear you.
I can't hear you, Paul.
Nope.
I don't hear him.
Now I hear you.
All right.
So we got Paul.
I still can't believe Dwayne Wade missed those two free throws last night.
We got Paul, we got Andy, we got Fred. Where's Tom?
Tom's at a doctor's appointment.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he says he told you about it.
I don't remember.
I'm sure he did.
All right, so...
You just simply cannot teach.
The Miami Heat last night.
I go in, I pull that lever down, and I say, there, I've done my duty.
Good for them.
Antoine Walker.
And I hear you guys had a good show last week over at the golf tournament.
We did. You should have listened.
Yeah.
We had some fun.
In fact, you should listen to the podcast.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing, though, that now we have the podcast.
That's right.
You can listen whenever and wherever you want.
We've actually been getting a lot of emails of people saying that.
Yeah, see, you made fun of me about it.
No. Whoa. I made fun of you about what?
About have podcasts,
whatever.
You know.
Wrong.
Fill in the blank.
I made fun of you about a certain kind of podcast that you want to start that is not yet available.
What, the cheerleader one?
Bing, 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 bing. We have a winner.
It's not for you. It's for girls who are cheerleaders or want to be cheerleaders.
We do join Dick for a little while.
There's one of them, joining Dick.
We got a lot of emails already.
Pre-mails.
A lot of emails.
People are excited. A lot of talk about minicamp.
It's good stuff.
That's the one thing with last week. We didn't have a ton of time to talk minicamp because part of the show was devoted to the golf tournament.
I don't give a
So we can still deal with more minicamp action even though you were on vacation.
That's true.
We should start the show off by saying that we do not have any new news on either Deion Branch or Ty Law.
Well, I don't.
And yeah. I don't either.
Nor do
but
I.
But Fred, I would like to know why you've been mentioning Ty Law a lot lately.
I want to know what's going on.
Hey, what's up?
You usually don't just bring things out of the blue and
throw them out there.
I want to know if you guys have heard anything.
I want to know if you've heard anything.
I want to know if you're putting a test out to your writers to see if they're actually doing anything. And
are you?
Finding any information. We haven't been able to find much information.
You've been calling the Postons?
This is Tom.
No, I've been a little
Welcome
lax
to Miami.
That. You're right. Okay. I have been lax in calling the Postons.
Postons don't call anybody back.
Yeah, but you just got to call them anyway. You just got to keep calling them.
Leaving, you're not wrong about that.
Leaving messages.
Yeah, but we know they don't call. Len Pasquarelli stopped calling them because they don't call him back.
It doesn't matter. You just got to keep calling.
Okay.
You know. All right.
Plus, one of them is busy right now. Isn't he having his hearing for the fact that he's been
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. webradio@patriots.com. Some NFL news. I guess Ben Roethlisberger showed up at the Steelers facility. And,
in a green hood with a bodyguard.
Yeah. You know, the woman that he ran into was receiving threats.
I heard that. Mm-hmm. That's awful.
That's Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no, that's awful. I don't think that wouldn't be happening here, by the way, so get off your high horse.
Oh, you don't?
Right. There are wackos everywhere, including in New England, and they would.
If
same thing would happen.
Somebody cut in front of Tom Brady and injured him.
Carol Hardy would be calling, threatening the other person.
Come on, Fred.
All right.
Come on down to Tom Brady's Falafel City.
What other news do we have?
Nothing.
Well, what I heard the story about Roethlisberger going to Pittsburgh, but what exactly did he say?
Nothing. Just, he stopped in to get his... there are no quotes.
He didn't talk to the media. He didn't talk to anybody. He picked up some mail, was there for 45 minutes and left.
Right.
Coach, I guess some of the coaches, unnamed coaches, told the writer that he looked better than they thought he would have. A lot of the swelling had gone down and bruising, but he does kind of have a reconstructed face to some degree. So.
Is there a chance that he won't play all or part of the season?
Not all, but I would say there's a chance part.
Part, there's a chance, yeah. I mean, they're saying that he has a chance to be back for the first game.
Right.
So I would say that there's no chance that he's going to miss the whole year based on that.
Right.
All right.
I wonder if he'll have to wear one of those Rip Hamilton masks under his helmet.
Yeah, that would be interesting
helmet.
To know about it.
That would be weird, too,
That's
though.
That's got to be tough because no matter what, once you get hit, you got to think, you know, he had all that surgery on the bones, all the fractures in his face. There's no way to prevent that from being rattled around. You're not getting directly hit on the face, but, you know, you go down, you hit your head, whatever.
Right. Plus just normal...
A lot of pain.
Arthritis and stuff that sets in when you have bones that are broken and put back together. I would assume he's going to have some lasting, even if they're minimal, effects from the
addiction.
Word is, he doesn't have a valid motorcycle license.
Right.
Jeez. Unbelievable. But the Steelers will not be going after any of his bonus.
Yeah, they should.
Idiot.
I wouldn't either.
You know, he's going to play, so
right.
why would they?
Right.
You know?
And even if he misses a couple games... He's going to be back. He's your quarterback for the next 10 years. You don't want to start any sort of back and forth or any contention to the relationship.
At some point soon, they're going to need to re-sign him, and that hasn't been Pittsburgh's strong suit.
Yes.
Re-signing guys.
That is true.
That make good money. So why not start off with a good faith gesture right here? Look, you did something that you regret. We wish you didn't do it. You understand that. We're not going to worry about taking any money back that we might be able to legally.
Yeah.
But let's sit down and get an extension worked out with you. Maybe, you know, at the end of this season, they might think about that.
Yep.
And get the bleep off the motorcycle.
Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk has been keeping up with the Cincinnati Bengals situation.
Wow, that's just unbelievable.
One guy after another just getting arrested.
The latest being Frosty Rucker.
Unbelievable.
Just like
it is
name.
Kind of
I just
unbelievable.
Like that name.
And it's young guys over the last, you know, guys they drafted. Guys that other teams knew about, recognized, you know, scouts that are willing to say they were turds.
Well, that's the key. It's not like, oh, we didn't know.
Right.
These are all guys that had priors.
And it's not, you know, the Patriots, people say, well, they take a chance on a guy because he's got first-round talent, and he gets in the locker room with good veterans and leadership and the atmosphere. I mean, Cincinnati has a large number of them now where you probably say it could go the other way, and they could start bringing down good guys.
What are they doing?
I don't know.
Why? What's the method to their madness?
Well, they're talented players. I mean, they're clearly looking at talent above all else, I would say. And they're taking chances on guys that other teams are passing on.
It is dangerous.
Is Marvin Lewis just saying, hey, you know, I'm that good that I can turn these guys around?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's a good point, Fred. Maybe that's what he's doing. Maybe he figures, you know, I'm a respected African-American, much
he's
like most of these players are, and maybe I can get them to conform to my system. But if that is what his philosophy was going in, it ain't working.
It's not working at all.
Was there four guys, four recent draft picks that have been in a lot of trouble, right, the last couple of years, if you count, like, Odell Thurman,
mm-hmm.
you know, Nicholson, Rucker, and Chris Henry. I mean, that's an unbelievable amount of arrests.
All right, getting back to the Steelers. Even before Roethlisberger, my prediction for them is that they are one of those Super Bowl teams that will implode, will have a bad next year.
Why?
Well, Santonio Holmes is a turd. Cowher's already talking about, this might be my last year. I don't know. I don't know what's...
He's talked about that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then the Roethlisberger thing happened. But I just have this feeling that they are not going to make the playoffs.
And they play in a tough division.
The Cowher thing, I think, is a contract ploy.
It could be.
Yeah, I think that he's – and I read the stuff that Florio wrote about that. I really agree with Mike on that. I think he's just trying to leverage it the way Mike Holmgren did in Seattle and cash in with a big extension, a huge payday. And And I don't think he has any.
I just don't think that that's a team that has the makeup to be able to handle success.
Well, I think that might be the best point, I think, that you made for all your reasons. Because I don't think they are a team that can handle success. The Joey Porters of the world, I don't see them taking, handling the situation properly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but there's other guys. I mean, Hines Ward?
I would think Hines Ward would be a
Ben
guy.
Ben Roethlisberger?
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, he didn't crash his motorcycle because he won the Super Bowl.
No, I understand that.
Crash his motorcycle because something happened.
We can sit here with license,
but we can sit here
a helmet because he was wearing.
And you think he's the only person that's ever?
Irrelevant.
I mean,
that's all irrelevant.
You don't think there's somebody on this team that's doing some stuff right now?
Shows poor judgment.
I see,
but I think in general, professional athletes, a large portion of them, show poor judgment in some area of their life just about every day. I think that's just part of it. I've said all along, I believe these guys are high school kids with money. They don't make me feel much different.
I agree with
you. So I think there's a bulk of them that could get in trouble often and just don't.
And I also think it's somewhat overblown in...
Tom Brady would never do that.
Of course not.
You don't think so?
Nope.
You don't think he did anything in the era of Tara Reid that if people found out about it would say, that's kind of questionable judgment there, Tom. Dating Tara Reid is questionable judgment on its own.
I'm not even talking about
that. You're putting that on the scale of...
I don't think... Here's my problem with
you. You don't think
any
of these guys do anything that's...
Oh,
I mean,
of course they do.
I think that it's very easy for people in the media like us to sit here and say, wow, what an idiot. He rides a motorcycle without a helmet. Well, thousands and thousands of people do that every day. The guy got in an accident. It could happen to anybody. I don't think that it was necessarily the biggest blunder in the history of sports the way it's been made out to be. It's a huge deal. He's very lucky that he wasn't seriously injured. I would personally never ride a motorcycle. It's not something that interests me. But if it did interest me, I wouldn't, forced to feel like I couldn't do it because I'm a professional athlete. I think that's a stupid way of looking at it. I think the criticism that he's getting, I think, was far exaggerated. I think that he exercised poor judgment from riding without a helmet, period. The rest of it, what are you supposed to do? Hermetically seal these guys in a little box? They can't go bungee jumping. They can't go skiing. They can't, Roosevelt Colvin got in an Indy car back home in Indianapolis a couple of months ago and was driving 180 miles an hour. Should he not do that? Is that not more dangerous than riding a motorcycle?
This particular thing, he has already been warned at least once by the team in writing about this activity.
Big deal.
Well, I
answer my question. Is he supposed to just hermetically seal himself in his house and not
do
anything?
For this particular activity, the team saw enough of a worry to warn him in writing, and then he goes out and does this.
So what about Roosevelt Colvin then? Do you think the same way? You don't think that's dangerous?
Well, for example, tomorrow Larry Izzo will be flying.
Another perfect example. Are these guys not supposed to do these things? I think they should be able to do these things. If they get hurt, that's unfortunate.
But he doesn't fly with the Blue Angels every day. It's a charity thing. It's, a publicity thing. But this is an activity that Roethlisberger...
See, I see your point, Fred. I agree. I actually kind of agree with both of you because
I think
if I'm an owner and I ask my multi-million-dollar quarterback not to ride his motorcycle, don't ride your motorcycle.
I think the helmet thing is the only valid part of the argument. That's all.
See, I think an owner has the right to ask
part of it, Paul.
His investment to not
no,
do
it's
something
not.
That's above and beyond.
Why can't you just put a helmet on to appease the guy who's paying you millions
of
dollars?
Well, if that's a big part of this, then it had nothing to do with the injury. Because his injuries aren't related to not having a helmet on.
What, the facial?
The bulk of his injuries are face related.
Broken
jaw? Exactly. Nothing to do with a helmet. Face injuries. So...
If he had
a fully enclosed helmet, he would have been okay.
Of course not.
He doesn't wear one at all. You think right. If he had one on, it would have been a fully enclosed right. One over his face?
Right. Poor judgment, anyway. All right, we're going to have we have a lot of emails. And,
you just try to.
I think it's very easy to say a 24-year-old kid should just sit in his house and do nothing. I think it's very easy middle-aged white.
I'm not saying
white
but
media
where do you
guys
draw the
to
line?
Sit there and say these kids should just sit there and be lucky that they get millions of dollars.
This is a specific thing that the team asked him.
That's the only thing I agree with you on. If I'm the owner, if I ask him not to do something, he shouldn't do it.
Yeah, I'm not saying guys shouldn't ski or. Do what
Why?
They do.
See, what is the difference? That's what I'm asking you.
Well,
what is the difference?
because skiing is a normal thing. But if a guy is...
I guarantee you there are more injuries yearly skiing
than riding a
motorcycle
is not a normal thing.
But if a guy, you know, states that he loves, you know, high... What is that thing where you ski and you go off the thing and you fly through
extreme
the
skiing and stuff?
No, not even the extreme skiing.
Ski jumping?
Ski jumping. You know, if a guy does that and the team says, hey, could you not do ski jumping for a while until you're done, and he still does it and gets hurt,
Fred, I
think that's poor judgment.
I clearly understand your point about the team asking him to do it.
That is my point.
I clearly understand that
all
point.
All I'm saying.
But where does it stop is what I mean. I don't think the team should have the right to do that.
You're
that's my point. Where does it stop? Don't tell me that skiing is any less dangerous than riding a motorcycle at 30 miles an hour.
Well, if I have a guy on my team who I know likes to do extreme skiing or whatever, I think I have a right to say, hey, that could...
Forget the extreme part, because there wasn't extreme motorcycle riding that he was doing.
Yes, he was.
He was riding 30 miles an hour and got cut off by a blue hair.
So then why did the team in the past ask him to stop doing that?
Because they don't want him doing it.
Because he was known that he likes to go fast and he rides without a helmet.
Didn't it happen right after
the
Kellen
Winslow
thing?
That's not what he was doing then. So if that's what they were worried about, then he didn't do it. Yes or no? If you're right and that's why they asked him to stop doing it, then he listened to him. Because he didn't do what they asked him not to do.
Well, he wasn't
wearing
a
helmet. Ride fast. He wasn't doing it.
Wasn't wearing a helmet.
You didn't say anything about riding safely.
I can't believe you, really.
I just can't believe that this kid is being persecuted to the extent that he is. That's all.
Well, see, I don't think he's really being persecuted.
Well, I think he's being lauded as the dumbest guy in the history of sports right now.
Well, who said that?
Did you read any of the websites?
Those people
Mike Florio, a guy that we both respect a lot, can't go a day without taking a rocket shot at him.
Well, that's what he does. He piles on.
Well, I mean, I think there's a guy that I respect, and I disagree with his opinion on this.
That's
all. I think he's an intelligent guy. It's not just some crazy fan.
But that's just his... I mean, he made a bad mistake. It opened up a debate. I think more than anything, it opened up a general debate about athletes and dangerous. I mean, people asked Tiger Woods about it because he rode a race car and he went bungee jumping. It opened up kind of a general debate.
Yeah. And that's what I'm asking you. Should the teams have the right to do that?
Yes.
I don't think they should.
And the owner says, okay, don't play for me. I mean, I have no problem with that.
I think if it's a once-in-a-while thing, no, they shouldn't. But if it's a thing that, you know, the player likes to do on a regular basis, I think the team has a right to look into something like that.
I think even once-in-a-while they have the right. I mean, they're investing a significant sum of money in the person.
If you're putting yourself in danger, you're either doing it once or a million times. I don't see what the difference is. Well, all it takes is one time.
I know, but the more you do it, the odds go up.
So it's okay if someone gets hurt on the one time they do it, but it's not okay if they do it a thousand times but get hurt once.
It's unfortunate. You know, it's a freak accident, whatever. But if you continue to defy the odds, well, you're playing
with fire.
I'm pissed
if he does it one time or any. If I tell him that I'm handing you this check, don't do what I don't want you to do, and he does it once, I'm pissed. If he does it 100 times, I'm pissed. I'm pissed that he's not.
And that's what I'm saying. If you specifically tell him not to do it or ask him not to do it.
Hey, if I'm the owner, I'd be pissed right now.
Yeah. Okay, should we get to some emails? Because we have a lot of them.
Reinstilled my confidence in myself at the quarterback
Doug
position,
is still
which allowed me to come back to Buffalo.
It doesn't sound like we have a lot of
my first year,
new
make
news
it to, a Pro Bowl,
to talk about.
I have the honor of
this
playing
is the quiet time.
They released Jakari Wallace and another guy that really isn't all
that relevant.
This
is the quiet time after
Remy
the training camps.
Yeah, Remy Iadeli.
And before the reporting of training camp where, you know, typically coaches and staff go on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Players, this is their last chance to go on vacation. Officially, the Patriots have announced that the first public practice open to the public will be July 28th. So we do know that. From there, we don't know what the schedule is as far as practices. Although, I do know that there will be more two-a-days than there have been in the past this year.
So we got that going for us.
If anyone's interested.
I believe you're right about that from a quick look at
the tentative
list.
Schedule.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that. But I wonder if some of those, Fred, are maybe, you know, floaters that they might be set in a certain way now and then they dangle a carrot or whatever.
I have a feeling we'll see a little bit of a, I don't know how you might say it, but a couple years ago Belichick changed the way he did practices a little later. Practice when you had two-a-days, Remember he did that and kind of, it wasn't the first time any coach had done that, but it was a little different. I got a feeling we'll see a little bit of, not uniqueness, but something new.
Why?
In this, I just
I thought he's fallen in love with his schedule. That
he does always seem to,
and how he,
to tinker with it.
Well,
though.
You know how like they go to practice, they stretch, they do some certain things. I got a feeling we'll see maybe the institution of some new drills. Maybe
where's this coming from?
I just have a feeling. You know,
I don't know necessarily about the makeup of practice, especially based on the minicamp practices that we saw. That seemed to be a carbon copy of what we've been seeing, but. The schedule itself, the times of the practices, he seems to tinker with it from time to time.
But he's fallen in love with the whole thing where he's able to watch every practice with the team after the practice before they get on the field again so that they can institute or fix whatever came up. And that was the whole thing a couple of years ago with the two-a-days, then one-a-day, and the timing. And it allowed them to watch video and meet and get together before they hit the field again so that anything that they noticed from the morning session or the last night session they could fix before, you know, not allowing it to compound itself with another practice.
Let's see. Mike from North Carolina writes in. First of all, he says, I'm planning on going to my first Patriots game in August in Atlanta. Too bad it's a preseason game. One of my questions is, will Maroney be playing 85% of the game? And if so, will you be able to see his full talent at this point in his career, or will Bill tell him to take it easy since it's a preseason game? Do you think Brady will get any reps? Is there any way you know you can get a signature from Maroney at the game? When will they be semi-authentic Maroney jerseys coming out? Thanks, guys. You all do a great job, especially Andy. I know how the supplemental draft goes with the bidding system, but why were they not in the real draft? So we have a number of questions in here. One thing I had to rip a bunch of people on the internet saying that D. Will, Lendale White, and Joseph Addai was so much better than Maroney. I can sort of agree with Will, but not the last two. Who's D. Will?
D'Angelo Williams.
Oh, D'Angelo Williams. Okay. Okay. So anyway,
that Scoop Jackson writing in?
Getting back to the signature Maroney jackets or the authentic Maroney.
Email has just run amok.
We should call Ken Flanders, Gary, and see if he knows when the Maroney jerseys.
What did he call them? Somewhat authentic or
authentic Maroney. When will the semi-authentic?
Semi-authentic.
Yeah. I don't
What's
know.
What's that?
Would that be the dressed-up term for a replica?
Yeah, I guess.
I would imagine as soon as he makes the team, which
I would think that Atlanta preseason game, by the way, I'm looking at about 78% of the snaps.
Really? I was going to go 71.
Oh, you might be right. You might be right.
What game is that? Is that the which one?
Is that the third preseason game?
69.
I don't know.
It's not the first one?
Is it the first one?
What's the schedule? Gary, what's the schedule?
I thought we were at Atlanta and then had two home games.
Well, if it's the first one, he'll get some reps.
I thought we were at Atlanta and then had two home games and then at the Giants.
Yep.
I believe that is accurate.
Okay.
So it's the first one, so he'll get some. Corey Dillon will get some. They'll be out there.
Brady will only play a little bit.
Right.
If that. Didn't he not play last year?
He missed the first
game. The first game?
The first and last game, I thought he didn't play.
I don't know. My memory's not so good. What was the other question in there? Well, I really want to focus on this email because he really likes me.
Ron from Raymond.
What are the other questions in there? There was like eight questions. You skipped right over them all.
Right. Are we not going to call Ken Flanders?
Well, we tried. He's not.
Gary's in the middle of a very intense free cell game in there.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
So I guess we're not going to.
He doesn't even try anymore.
Ron from Raymond.
Why would I bother?
I don't know. That's your job.
Ron from Raymond says, if I happen to read in the paper that Tom Casale was murdered, I'll know Corey Dillon killed him. Did Tom upset Corey Dillon?
No. Tom packed it in and cowered like a little biatch when Corey Dillon was sitting 3 feet away at the golf tournament. And then he got back on the show last week and he was popping off again about how he's done.
And then when Corey Dillon decided to address the media, the two heroes made Paul go in the middle of it and ask him about last year.
Well, first of all, I wasn't even there.
I was off doing another interview when Big Balls Paul had to be the one to ask the tough questions of Corey Dillon.
Really?
You know that?
No.
Paul stepped it up.
Is that right?
I gave him credit for it at the time.
So you were the one that got him all upset.
Michael Felger was busy giving him a ball washing and reading his
his bio, Paul finally said, well, where does last year rank in all your accomplishments? Or how was last year? So it was good. Paul was the one who got it on track to say that you stunk last year. We know you were good in the past, but what are you now?
Mensa from the Bronx. That was a good interview, by the way, with Corey Dillon.
That was outstanding.
As I said to Paul, it excellent just shows stuff. That he could own the media if he wanted to. He always does a very good job when, I won't say always. For the most part, does a good job when he chooses to address the media. If he did that once every couple weeks and just kind of answered questions, because he always does it with a smile. I mean, he's pretty good at it, but he chooses to go the other way and kind of, you know, have a, I don't even know what the word is I want, but he doesn't see eye to eye with the media.
Yep. He has a chip on his shoulder.
Confrontational.
Yeah, he's confrontational, where I think he could own the media if he wanted to.
Like, instead of, you know, challenging the media to go out and try to tackle him, if he had the same kind of, and by no means was he cowering to the media and making nice with the media last week.
No.
He had a point that he was
right
specifically determined to get across, and he did it in no uncertain terms, but he also, in doing so, was entertaining and did it in at times in a lighthearted way that he completely took the media and brought all of the media's defenses down. And for the most part, there was probably 20 or 30 people around him. Most of those people were really laughing, and he had them kind of eating out of his hand.
Right.
At the point, and he was, Fred, there was a clear purpose to what Corey did last week. I think he was outstanding. I think he delivered his message in a very good way. I don't agree with all of what he said, and you know he made a big deal of saying how he didn't care about this kind of stuff, but yet he thought enough to bring his actual bio out to the field for the express intent of having a media member read it, so you can read all his accomplishments. But yet he doesn't care that he doesn't seem to be getting
cares.
His due.
He cares.
Respect.
And the argument's flawed. No one said that Corey Dillon wasn't good a few
exactly.
years ago. People are wondering whether he's still good.
Yeah, I think that most people would consider Corey Dillon, in his generation, among his contemporaries, one of the best running backs of his time.
Well, I mean, last year training camp, he was in shape, comfortable, relaxed, and he had the season he had. Let's hope maybe this year he goes in a little bit pissed off, and maybe that helps him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, can't hurt him. I wonder where
he helped him in Cincinnati. He was pissed off every year.
I wonder
what
he
much worse than he was last.
I wonder what he has left. That's all. I'm not necessarily questioning his desire the way some others are. Tom has questioned his desire a little bit. I'm not necessarily saying that's the problem. I'm just wondering how many hits the guy's taken over the years. And I think even the great ones at some point take one too many hits and they start to slow down. And I think that's what's happened to Corey Dillon.
Mensa from the Bronx, great job, but please cut down on the unnecessary chit-chat, which takes a lot of valuable time from you reading all the emails that are sent in weekly. Okay.
It's a talk show.
What do you think about
this chit-chat?
What do you think about the Patriots pursuing Ashley Lalee, and do you think he will be a good fit? How about a veteran backup quarterback for an insurance in case the old man bad luck rears its head this coming season? Anything on Lalee?
Lalee?
No. I have a lot to say on that. I just don't know if we should take up any airtime talking
about
it.
We should get on to another email. Move on. We need to get all the emails.
In all seriousness, Mensa, I don't think that the Patriots have a lot of interest in Ashley Lalee. And I know from the quotes that came out last week from Belichick is he has absolutely no interest in trading Daniel Graham to acquire him or anybody else. So I just don't think that Lalee makes a lot of sense for the Patriots. I think
he's just not that good.
I think he's an average, you know, run-of-the-mill complimentary receiver. Would he have a spot in the Patriots receiving core? Yeah. I mean, I think he'd be better than...
right now, Bam Childress has a spot in the Patriots receiving
core. I don't think he would anymore. And I still have my doubts of whether
that's my point. He's
anyway.
Bumping a guy out who's not even really an NFL player.
Yeah.
That's the only reason he'd have an immediate spot.
I don't think that you're going to upgrade an enormous amount.
I'm not sure he's that much better than Rishay Caldwell or Chad Jackson or Troy Brown, and they fill out your receiving core right now. I don't think he automatically becomes your starting second receiver behind Deion Branch. I think he'd have to compete for a role. Don't think he's that good.
I agree with you 1,000%. I think you're absolutely right.
Plus, I don't think he's, beyond just physical and ability that he'd bring to the field, his whole situation that he wants to be a number one, he wants to earn be able to earn number one type money. Well, you're not going to get that here, and I don't really like your attitude.
Okay. Let's see. This was sent last week, I think after the show, and I'm reading it because he says we rock.
You weren't even here, so don't say we.
John in L.A. sends it.
Good job, John.
He says, thank you for making what is otherwise a horrendously dull and frustrating time of year a bit more tolerable. On to my ludicrously long questions.
Oh, boy.
Well, let's go to one. Corey Dillon, fat and done at minicamp, are looking better than some have reported. According to folks I tend to trust, like Mike, Tom Curran and Mike Reese, he's not as heavy and slow as other backs who shall remain nameless, Felger, have suggested. So what do you think? I sense your preference and enthusiasm.
The pauses were all out of whack in that sentence.
I sense your preference and enthusiasm for Maroney, and I share it, but I'm wondering specifically about how Corey looked in minicamp. There's such a divergence of opinion. I guess I'm hoping you'll weigh in. Nothing lamer than saying no pun intended here, unless, of course, one opts for the uber feeble pun intended. So please, by all means, just answer the question, por favor.
I think it's in the middle. I don't think he's as fat as Tom would like to make it out to be, or some of the other people.
He looked fat to me.
And
he looked bigger than last year.
Yeah. But I don't think he's as fat as he's making it out to be, and I don't think he's in quite as good a shape as other people would make it out to be, or Corey Dillon might make it out to be. I think he's in the middle somewhere. He clearly is not as quick and explosive as Lawrence Maroney when you watch him on the football field. It's just different. And I know that's, you know, a decade of getting pounded in the NFL behind that. And that's not a problem. I mean, he is what he is. He's a 30-something running back with a lot of carries. He's not supposed to look like a 21-year-old fresh out of college. There's a difference there. But I just think we have to wait and see. You're not going to tell anything now in shorts about Corey Dillon. You need to see him hit a hole, you know, take a couple hits, see how he reacts, see how he flows with the game plan, and make your own decision from there. And I think there's a lot of bias in people looking at Corey Dillon right now when they view him through certain agendas.
Some of the message board stuff about this has been all agenda driven. That's a big word. People that have agendas. Well, I think there are people who have agendas both sides.
No
here.
Question.
I think that some people want to see Corey Dillon back in his 2004 form because for whatever reason they don't like the writers that are writing that he's out of shape and done. And that's clouding their opinion. I don't think that I totally agree with Andy. I don't think he neither looked to be in prime condition nor grossly out of shape the way some others have reported. And there's a distinct difference between watching him and Maroney do the same drill, same activity.
Right. Maroney's faster.
And that, he's everything. He's quicker. His feet are better. His movement, but just exactly the way Andy put it, is exactly right. 10 years of NFL pounding will make anybody look that much less impressive than a rookie coming in fresh and without having taken all those NFL-caliber hits.
The only thing I will say, and I agree with Tom on this, and he's quick to point it out very much during minicamp, is Corey Dillon did take his helmet off a lot, did walk from drill to drill often, did lag behind when the entire team did sprints. He certainly wasn't trying to be the perfect veteran, sprint from drill to drill, lead the pack, set an example kind of guy. He was the opposite end of that spectrum.
He was the last guy everywhere.
Right. So that's the one thing I would be down on if I'm a Corey Dillon fan or if I'm even a coach watching him. He did take his helmet off a lot, as I said, and lag behind and didn't set a great example for the rookie.
And we'll see when the pads come on if he's, once he starts getting some carries, if he's still turning his shoulders when he's getting through the hole and doing that kind of stuff. And instead of, as Andy calls it, the flipper, when he's running wide, if he's ducking out of bounds like he was occasionally last year, or if he's punishing that defensive back
killing
coming
people.
Over and knocking him away.
I mean, everybody raved about that in 2004 as one of the unique things he does in putting pain on the defender and knocking people out of the way to get the extra yards. And I don't remember him doing that once last season throughout the entire year. And I just feel like, for some reason on this, I'm not agenda-driven or emotionally attached to Corey Dillon like I tend to get with other players and arguments and debates like this. I really am middle of the road. I'd love to see him come back and have 1,700 yards because I think it's fun to watch a team when they have a running back that's doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think it changes the whole offense, and it makes the game more enjoyable to watch when you just hand the guy the ball 24 times a game, he rushes for 140 yards, and it just opens up the offense.
Nothing less fun to watch than the two-yard gains and the one-yard gains.
They ruin the game. They do. And
That's when Andy's wife chimes in and says, why do they just run right into the pile?
I was just going to say that. That's what I think of, because it ruins it. There's nothing more fun than the guy getting 7 yards and you have second and three and just
he has every single play in your book is open right now.
But I don't care if it's Corey Dillon going 6-7 yards on first down or Lawrence Maroney. I just want to see a guy back there who's going 6 yards on first down.
Let's see. The second question of these ludicrously long questions is, given your presumption that Graham is gone next year, who's presuming he's gone?
A lot of people have said that. They drafted two tight ends to prepare for life without
Graham. I think
Graham.
He'll go next year because I don't think he wants to be
anyway,
back.
Given that presumption, so he can run free and catch footballs as opposed to staying in and babysitting freeney-phobic linemen, is a Ben Watson-David Thomas combo so much of a blocking downgrade that they will provide less of a threat as the two tight end sets comprising the two tight ends comprising the two tight end set? In other words, part of what makes Graham Watson such a formidable pairing is that opposing teams face the reasonable threat that the Patriots might actually run the ball and do so effectively. With Watson and Thomas being less adept at road grading, would the run or pass threat suffer since the two tight end set would feature players whose talents are more limited to receiving? Would they see less time in the field as a tandem? What do you think?
No, I think the Patriots, one of their main sets is two tight end offense. It always has been. So I don't see them going away from that, you know, very often just because they lose Graham. I think that if you really do feel like that, that your blocking aspect of your tight end game is so downgraded, I think you can get a blocking tight end.
Yeah.
You know, I think Daniel Graham is a better player than he's given credit for. I think Andy and I have kind of disagreed on this in the past about what Daniel Graham is. I think a little bit higher of him than Andy does, but I think we'd both be in agreement that you can get a guy that can do the blocking part. He might not have the athleticism that Graham has, but you can definitely find guys, you know, to be an extra tight end and handle that aspect of the job without having a, you know, you get a, you know, a Dan Campbell type or, you know, the way they had Jed Weaver here a couple
right.
years ago or someone, you know.
And there's no saying that Dave Thomas isn't going to evolve into a better pro blocker. When you're in college and you're a pass-catching tight end,
it's pretty small, though.
You catch passes. No, I'm just saying, there's no saying he can't develop into that. That happens a lot with young tight ends because in college, all they do is run out and catch passes because they're the pass-catching tight end on the team. I think in the pros, you have to develop into more of an all-around tight end unless you're really elite and Tony Gonzalez, then you pretty much go out and catch passes every play in the pros. But,
right.
you know, Daniel Graham was not the great blocker he is now when he entered the league. He has evolved into a much better blocker and drawn the praise of his teammates and coaches and opponents over time. So it could be Dave Thomas. It could be another young guy they bring in next year who is a good blocking tight end who developed into a great blocking tight end. Or it's Jed Weaver, Fred Baxter, blah, blah, some tight end on the market.
Let's see, another question. You mentioned Mike Williams as possible trade bait.
Yeah, we want him here, Fred. That's the new rumor we're going with. Let's get Mike Williams in a Patriots uniform.
And I'm assuming there will be other wideouts available as well. I further assume that the Patriots will be one of the teams considering a trade for a wide receiver for obvious reasons. So, A, what would you give up for Mike Williams? I'd give a fourth, maybe a third, because, Joel, sometimes you got to say, what the blank, make your move. Now, who's that a reference to? Joel who?
That's Risky Business.
Oh.
Joel, Tom Cruise.
Oh, right.
I would definitely trade a mid-round pick, a third or a fourth, for Mike Williams.
Looks like the University of Illinois.
And B, would you agree that making a trade for a wide receiver, while arguably necessary, even independent of the Deion Branch situation, might have the added benefit of improving the Patriots' leverage in that negotiation? As you guys commented, the only leverage Branch currently has is that the Patriots are so thin at the position. Might it be savvy strategy for Belichick and Pioli to explore trade possibilities sooner rather than later for a host of reasons, not the least of which is that it may offer them hand when it comes to looking Branch's agent in the eye?
Yeah, I mean, it would help in that area. Obviously, if you add a talented wide, but you wouldn't know necessarily right away. If you trade for Mike Williams now, it's going to take him a while to learn the offense. Or any receiver you trade for right now. He's not going to come in and catch 80 balls right away or anything like
that.
So, no, he can't.
Sure. I'm not concerned about the wide receiver position.
Why is that, Paul?
I'm just not all that concerned about it. I think the quarterback is that good.
He subscribes to the Brady makes all receivers good theory.
Well, I don't know. You got to have a certain something. The receiver has to come with something.
Je ne sais quoi?
They have Deion Branch, Chad Jackson, Troy Brown, and Richey Caldwell. I think those guys are good enough. My only concern is that they
Chad
get hurt.
Jackson will be good enough. You're thinking he's going to come right in?
I think Chad Jackson.
Andy, I'll let you handle that one.
Right now, right this minute, is the best, biggest sure thing in the receiving core. Because Deion Branch isn't here, so right now he's out of the mix
a little bit. So what does that say?
Says he's going to be a Pro Bowler before his rookie contract's out.
Okay.
What do you think? He hasn't even signed that rookie contract yet.
What do you think the fewest amount of catches he'll end up with is?
This year?
Provided that he's healthy.
35.
Okay. I would go.
I'll
take the over on that.
Want to bet? Want to bet a lunch on it?
I'm not saying this. As you said,
I'll say 50.
That's what he will end up
with? Fewest that he'll end up
with. So that's his over-under?
Well, I would say that he's going to have more than 50 catches.
That would be great. That would be a great rookie season.
And
I agree.
And from what I've seen of him, that's what I think we're going to get.
Okay.
I'm impressed.
That could all change when first time he sees press coverage and some cornerback whacks him and he falls down.
Absolutely.
Paul goes, oops, did I bet on that?
And I'll come on here and say, I was rrrr.
But seriously, I think he's definitely with the other. I mean, Troy Brown, everybody loves him to death, but
he'll catch 40 balls.
He's in his 14th season.
And he'll catch 40 passes just like he always does when
he plays
wide
healthy
receiver.
He's not playing corner. And Deion Branch, I mean, he is what he is. Rishe Caldwell could get hurt at any time. You know, is not a superstar by any means. Is not a proven commodity by any means. So, Chad Jackson, I mean, I know we're kind of promoting him before we've seen him do absolutely anything in a Patriots uniform with pads on. But he's that impressive, Fred. He really is.
I believe you.
I liked him.
Johnny,
I just want to say I was ahead of the curve on that one. I wanted to draft him with the first round pick.
What?
You don't remember how long I talked about Chad Jackson when I came back from the combine?
Belichick almost did. Belichick said he thought about it.
So if you had to choose between Maroney and Jackson.
Oh, Andy would take Jackson.
You would take Jackson over Maroney?
Yep.
Really?
Seven times.
I'm not necessarily sure on that one yet.
Of course, I'd much rather do what they did and take the running back and then get Jackson later.
That's why they are where they are. Don't ever forget it.
You're right. They are the luckiest SOBs on planet Earth.
Johnny writes in from Frederick, Maryland.
You know that's going to spark a lot of emails now.
He says, I catch PFW in progress from time to time, but now that you have a podcast, I can get it at any time. So
Maryland,
thanks.
Thank Fred Kirsch for that, the genius behind
all the
technology.
And as thanks,
send
us some crab cakes. So it's been a while for me. Didn't Andy leave to be a teacher?
All right.
Thank you very much.
And who is Tom? He seems intelligent but sounds funny. What does that mean? He has a funny voice?
And I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth. He's got a little, but I don't know, is that a New York thing he's got? Or
he's got a little New York
upper
guy,
state New York thing.
I guess. I'm just going to say,
Okay, so my question to y'all is this. Reading some of the reports about Corey, he seems very motivated to have a good year. I think this is a win-win for the Pats because if he's motivated, we either get one Corey running hard for 1,200 and Maroney for 700, or two, we get 300 for Dylan because he's fat, hurt, and angry at Tom, and we give our future Maroney the majority of snaps at 850 yards. This would be good either way, right?
Paul, why don't you handle that math there? Because you pointed this out. You read this earlier.
Yeah. One of those scenarios has us generating 1,900 yards of rushing, and the other one only 1,150. So I don't really see how that's a win-win.
All right. Also, I think someone might tell Branch his name is not spelled S-E-Y-M-O-U-R, and neither are his numbers comparable. How many Pro Bowls does Branch have? That's right, as many as the new guy Tom has. None. So.
It's true.
I
think that'll be most the general public sentiment as well. I think people.
Yeah.
People are more honest about their assessment of Deion Branch than Branch and his agent right now.
We've had, you know, obviously when Brady was getting close and Seymour, I mean, just, you know, a landslide of people saying, you got to pay him.
Very little public sentiment against those guys.
Exactly.
And it's funny because usually anytime a guy is trying to get more money, the overwhelming public opinion court rules in favor of the team. And in this case, it's, you know, in those two cases, it wasn't like that. But now, with Branch, I think you'll see what Andy said.
What's going on here?
Apparently, there's a PR field trip to our studio today.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
We've got a balding Jared Puffer coming in.
Oh.
Pudgy Casey O'Connell.
Oh.
Lovely Kimberly Folks from the Community Relations Department.
And Jeffco in the background. Did you bring any Whoppers?
I don't see Jeffco.
He's back there.
Okay, Justin from Alaska writes in. says it was a great show last week. The interviews were great, and thanks, Gary, for getting some players over to the table. So Gary was efforting that?
We've praised Gary enough for now. Let's move on.
Okay. Please allow me to clarify.
Man, they're taking pictures of my bald spot. I don't think that's right.
Well, but anyway, it's like when you're at an aquarium and you get the reflection off the glass. Oh. Your head is...
I just got to say, Gary Gudecki deserves props. He's done a fine job so
incredible.
Far.
All right.
Please allow Justin to clarify a point that he apparently didn't make last week. He says, I don't think I worded it correctly. That's what you get for majoring in theology and quantum physics, not journalism. I spoke about how I rather see a player hold out privately rather than publicly. What I meant was, instead of actually holding out of camp, I'd rather have them go to the owners behind doors and say they are unhappy, etc. Yes, Paul, if Branch or anyone was not at minicamp, I would expect PFW to report it, thus making every holdout public. I read every article you guys write online and in PFW, and I see the notes about practices, so I know you guys cover who practiced and who was on the stationary bike acting like Lance Armstrong.
You're a loser!
Anyway,
taking drugs?
Just would like to see the players participate, even if they are in talks with the owners about issues. I'm wishful thinking, I know.
Okay, now that last part I can understand then, because I just don't, I don't really see how you can make any sort of statement, you know, whether you want to call it a holdout or not, and what semantics you want to get caught in. I don't see how you can make any sort of statement by saying, Mr. Kraft, I would like more money, but don't worry, I'll be at practice, I'll fulfill all my requirements, I'll be at camp, and
Well, what
do you think the team's going to do?
Usually a holdout.
Okay, Johnny, go over there and you take part in all those practices. Well, we'll see what we can do about that contract.
Holdouts can happen for a number of reasons. You know, A, the team just won't negotiate. They won't talk. Or B, the player feels that the negotiations aren't really happening in good faith.
Right.
You know?
And that's what would happen to any player who just said, well, I'll continue to fulfill all my obligations. You know, let's face it, players, especially in the NFL, don't have any leverage here. I mean, they have no cut. They have no guaranteed contracts, so they can get cut any time. And if they're under contract, you know,
all right, what
they
you
need to
doing?
Honor
these
the contract.
Guys are taking pictures here. What are you
How
doing?
How long are we going here
for the game program?
So why are you using Casey's personal camera?
I saw Silverman here today, the team photographer.
He was indeed in the building.
What was
such an idiot?
What is this for?
For the game
program? Get on this mic and tell us what this is for.
Trying to get you guys.
Wait till Gary turns it on. Okay, go ahead.
Trying to get you guys more than 5 listeners on the radio show.
Wow,
so we're
taking shots at our listeners. We want every listener who just heard him say that.
You're a loser!
Email the Patriots Public Relations Department.
Right. And give it. His name
Jared P. at Patriots.com.
Do we have the website for his wedding? Maybe
he does. Look up Jared Puffer on The Knot, a wedding website, and you will see a man who has no testicles.
Well, he had them. They were just surgically removed.
Radio. He had them just...
You, the ball, and the hole.
Sarah Puffer now retains them at all times.
Okay, so I think we're even now. All right.
That's theknot.com? Is that how you... Or is it just knot.com? TheKnot.com?
Something like that.
Jared Puffer, P-U-F-F-E-R. He's getting married sometime in July. You should be able to find it with that information. It's worth the laugh.
All right. And Justin also says, how is Eugene doing as far as retaining his safety rule? Do we see him starting in the same position this year, or do we think that he'll go back to corner? Unless Rodney is back, which I assume he's PUP until November, I don't think we're deep enough at safety to move him. Unless he loses the training camp battle, how do you see it?
I think he starts out as a free safety. But it's interesting. I was thinking about this yesterday when I was
doing... On paper, we look pretty good at safety.
I would say decent. James Sanders, I was impressed with the amount of reps he got in camp with, quote-unquote, the first unit. And in looking at that position, with Tabucky Jones there, Eugene Wilson there, potentially James Sanders early in the year or Rodney Harrison later in the year. I think it gives you some unique flexibility because you have two potential safeties who are former cornerbacks who should know the system pretty well. I know Tabucky's returning, but knew the system in the past. It shouldn't take him long to get back into it. And a reader brought up the big nickel. And I think That was not very successful, the big nickel with Victor Green in the extra defensive back role. I think it could be a more enticing option if the extra player is a Eugene Wilson type who can play safety, can play a little corner, can play in the slot, do some different things. So I do think they have a little bit of flexibility there. Obviously, you've taken a step down removing Rodney Harrison from the mix at least early in the year.
Let's see. And Justin has a new favorite. He said, Casale, you've jumped to the top of my list of best PFW personality. When you said at the golf tourney, quote, this is kind of cool actually sitting here. You see these guys on TV, but now I'm here and they're all around. It's very interesting. I'd probably react the same way if I was there. It was refreshing to hear you allow some genuine excitement to peep out like a normal fan would rather than the guarded professional image you are paid to display. Bravo. You know, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again to Tom. Don't let these guys bring you down, Tom.
First of all, there's nothing normal about Tom in any sense of the word.
Keep up that enthusiasm. Don't let these guys drag you down.
So do we not have the enthusiasm at the golf tournament, Fred? Do we not deliver a good show? Did Gary not get us good guests?
Was Gary jaded of pessimism?
Was Gary jaded in the fact that he only got us, what, four or five
players and coaches? I'm not talking Gary's not included.
That was a
quagmire of pessimism. It's the muck and mire of negativity.
Where the hell were you?
What does this have to do with negativity?
Gary soundbites are the favorite part of my show.
You're so jaded, you skipped the golf tournament and minicamp.
Yeah. What? That's how jaded you are. There was a time that you used to be excited for those kinds of events.
What's that now? Would I skip?
Here's the problem. I had planned that little trip before the minicamp dates came out.
Don't get me wrong, Fred. I think it was refreshing that you actually took a vacation.
Are not when they... Usually before the golf tournament, I get screwed up.
I got porked on rookie minicamp because of that, because they changed the schedule this year. But I wouldn't say porked. I had a vacation and got to skip it.
I assume that the people that we hire to cover those things will be able to do that.
But you're already a leg behind in the kicking game. I just don't know which of the two kickers competing for the job are better.
That's all going to happen in training camp.
I just don't like the inference that you make that we don't attack our job with any enthusiasm. I don't like that inference. I resent it.
Enthusiasm for the team.
First of all, I resent that.
You guys are jaded professionals.
Who doesn't have enthusiasm?
You're Ed Duckworth wannabes.
Professional is accurate. The jaded part isn't.
Ed Duckworth wannabes.
Just because I'm not going to be as surprised when they have success this year as I was in 2001 doesn't mean I'm jaded now.
I've
learned a little something over the course of the year that these guys know what they're doing, and they have some pretty good players.
Took you a while.
They're lucky SOBs.
Al writes in, last month there was lots of chatter about the Pats supposedly being interested in Donnie Edwards, linebacker from the Chargers. San Diego has evidently announced that Edwards was available for a trade. Any update there?
No.
I hate to beat the proverbial dead horse, but I've never had much faith in Monty Beisel as a regular in the 3-4, the 4-3, the 5-2, or anything else. Maybe he's improved.
I was rolling my eyes early there, but he made me laugh.
I'm sure he is a nice enough guy. Maybe he's good.
Well, I'm not so sure about that.
O-T-I-S. In fact, I'm more confident that he can be a contributing member of the defense in the 3-4 this year than I am that he's a good guy.
Actually, you guys have kind of turned the corner on Monty Beisel. You both think that he's going to be a valuable contributor.
Yes. I mean, is that not showing the proper amount of enthusiasm and encouragement?
Well, it's going against the grain.
Oh, is that what it's all about? Is we just go against the grain?
Right.
We're contrarians.
Yeah, something else. See, we miss Fred. Freddie hasn't hosted in a while. I miss this.
All right.
I think Beisel will be fine with Bruschi next to him. He never played one snap with Teddy Bruschi next to him last year.
Is that a fact?
I believe it is.
Hey, you guys going to watch U.S. versus Ghana?
Don't forget, at the end of the... He lost today.
Tomorrow morning.
At 10 a.m.?
Something like that.
Can I stay home?
It's a huge game.
I got to watch it in HD if I'm going to watch it, so I'll stay home, okay?
Big game.
Who cares?
I mean, if I can get a day off because of soccer, cares? I'll take it.
Let's see. Gary writes in. And
G?
Not Gary G, someone else. He says, since it's football drought time, I thought this would be a good time to ask a non-football question.
Are you kidding me? They have a freaking countdown to the game?
I see that The Rock injured himself in the movie that they were going to film at Gillette Stadium was postponed.
Indeed.
Oh, my God.
But were
it's
any
broken.
Of the Patriots players going to be extras in the movie?
I don't know if any Patriots were involved in
it. I don't
think
Gary
they would be called
know.
Extras. They'd be called cameos, right?
Yeah.
Dan Flacco.
Also, what were the team and the NFL looking for in compensation to use the team logo, etc.?
Money.
That Disney was unwilling to come up with.
Money.
Well, I think the big thing was it wasn't so much the movie itself.
Brought me there.
It's all the marketing stuff that comes out afterwards, like at McDonald's, and because they're going to have a big marketing thing, and so there's going to be cups and probably toys and stuff, and of course they want to have the logos on those too, so. I think it was all that external stuff.
Yeah, but it's the only thing I find strange is Disney is ESPN is ABC, so there's already a relationship there, and the Patriots have a relationship with McDonald's. So yeah. What would the problem be? I mean, you'd think they'd
be able
to handle
it out.
It's
a league thing. It's a league thing. It's not a Patriots thing.
Yeah,
it's completely a league thing.
I'm with Andy and I'm with Gary. I it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me why the league would be so stern in this kind
of what they're going to use
it makes those movies so much better.
Oh, absolutely.
I hate
it when it's like,
and I don't see where it hurts the league.
The Raleigh Bombers.
Right.
You know, yeah. It's better when it's the real thing.
But I could understand if there was some negative impact on it. If it was, you know, if they read the script or something and they said, well, this is not really necessarily the kind of movie I want to
protect. That has nothing to do with it.
That's what I'm saying. There's nothing negative for the league. And, you know, for them to... Well, for them to glom onto someone else's marketing campaign, to me, is petty. I don't think it hurts the league to be portrayed in a positive light in a Disney movie.
Right.
And it looks like they're trying to get money that they really don't deserve.
It's a Disney movie. It's going to be on forever. Families are going to buy it, and you get the Patriots.
Yeah,
boom, right there.
You're going to be selling items and Toys R Us and stuff with the Patriots and or NFL shield on it. The league should get money. That's a brand.
Why is it being bought? Is it being bought because the NFL league shield in the Patriots logo is on it, or is it going to be bought because it's part of this movie?
How much cooler would it be as part of that movie if it had the real stuff on it?
I don't think you'll see much of a difference.
Well, then why was Disney so hot to get it?
Because of what Andy said. It makes the movie better.
It makes the movie
and
better.
And the products better.
I disagree
with you. Products, do you think?
The products will get bought.
Toys and stuff, you know.
I disagree. I don't think there's going to be a
The toys will get bought by people who want to buy them, whether they have an NFL shield on them or not.
Obviously, Disney thought it was important to get the logo.
They thought it was important because they wanted to have the reality of having a real team.
Were you in the negotiations?
Were you? I just think it makes a lot of sense. Why would you want to have, as you said, the Raleigh Bombers instead of the New England Patriots?
It's better. It's better for everything. It's better for better for the marketing.
I don't think it's going to affect their bottom line in terms of marketing merchandise.
I think it's better.
And according to what you just said, that's why the NFL decided not to let them do it.
And I'll be shocked if I see merchandise.
Oh, no, definitely.
Toys?
Yeah, there's going to be stuff.
Because that rarely ever happens from a live-action Disney movie. It's their animated movies that
toy
lines.
There'll be stuff. There'll probably be... I'm sure they wanted to have football jerseys that they would sell.
If there was movies...
The guy's name behind it. I guess Kingman, or what's the guy's
name
on screen? Rock is supposed to be like...
Yeah, Joel Kingman.
Or something like that.
I don't know what his name is. But I can understand, like I said, if there were movies like that one with Al Pacino in the...
gambling.
If I'm the NFL, I want...
Guys walking around naked with schlongs hanging out.
We are on the radio.
I didn't say a bad word. Corey Dillon can say schmuck. I can say schlong, right?
Well, I don't think that's even close to the same thing.
We'll start with SCH.
Anyway, I could understand the NFL
want
to steer clear of any kind of negative
school
light.
Also starts with SCH.
You know? They don't want to get their league portrayed in a negative light, but this is a Disney movie that I would think...
Bottom line is it's now delayed like 4 months or something.
Yeah, they're hoping to do something
this fall.
Achilles. Yeah.
Yeah.
At Malden's McDonald Stadium.
Well, it depends which paper you read. In our clips today, you read the stories
about the injury. I only read it in the Herald.
Totally different in the two stories.
Oh, I only read
the Herald stories.
According to Paul, the Herald sounds like
the facts get in the way of the story.
The Herald story, how do you know that the Herald story was wrong?
One said that...
Is it possible to have a collapse for a short period of time and then have it not collapse?
It was in a different place, Winchester or something?
Well, that's not really even close.
Read it when you get upstairs, because you probably know the details of which you're right and which you're wrong.
I don't. I only heard it on the radio this morning, and I saw it in the Herald this morning, and it said McDonald Stadium in Malden.
I believe the other one said McDonald Field in Winchester.
Two very different places. Malden and Winchester are, you know, it's kind of like... comparing, like, Los Angeles and, you know, San Antonio. I mean, it's like two very different places.
Okay.
A lot of factual.
He knows a lot about anything north of Boston. Paul is way up on his stomping ground.
Yeah. Played a lot of games at McDonald Stadium in Malden, Fred.
Was it called McDonald's?
Glory days. Yes, it was. No, they didn't. They didn't sell the naming rights.
Three Big Macs, all fans.
Gary also has a question. Where are the Lombardi trophies kept, and how can I get a close look at them? I'm a season ticket holder, an avid Patriots Today watcher, and I see Laurie from time to time standing in front of a wall case with memorabilia. I don't think that this is the same things I've seen in the pro shop. Is this where the trophies are, and are there tours available?
Hell no.
Well, no, the trophies
are in Robert Kraft's area, correct?
Right across the hall from the Kraft's office is called the trophy room.
We are all Patriots.
That's where they're all kept.
What was it called when they were designing the stadium?
I don't know.
The holding area.
It was sort of like, you know, on game day they have receptions. It's an overflow
and
room.
Can't you go up to the box from there via the elevator?
Yeah, there's an elevator that goes right up to the Kraft's luxury suite.
It's one of the coolest
parts of the stadium.
Trophies
are not available for public viewing.
You know,
occasionally they bring them out for events and things like that. But Gillette Stadium doesn't have tours unless you're affiliated with some corporation that has a group tour or something like that.
Right.
Andy occasionally will give personal tours, but that's...
Speaking of that, can I bring my sister and nephew for a tour?
Yeah, as long as you give it to them.
Yeah, I got no problem with that.
So you're not going to make Fred do it for you?
No, my nephew asked me, and I was like, I don't know if I can do that or not.
Well, I think... technically, we're not supposed to, because then everybody would be bringing...
Just so you know, when somebody stops me, Fred said it was okay. The words coming out of my mouth.
You know what you don't see enough of on TV?
What?
Bowling tricks?
Trick bowling.
Yeah, there you go.
ESPN, I'll tell you, they're really coming through right here. That was a great shot.
Russ from Canton writes, any news on Ty Law? No. We don't have anything new.
Plus, I got another pin.
Also, besides the money that is allocated to the rookies, we should still be somewhere around $10 million under the cap. Do you think they will eventually spend up to the cap?
Yep.
Yes.
They're going to pay Richard Seymour. That's what I think.
I don't know how they're going to do it, but I think that when the season comes around, they'll be at or very close to the cap, and they'll have to, you know, worry about the season, you know, and additional monies that you need to spend during the course of the year in terms of injured guys and replacements. Because, you know, as Bill often says, it's not really 53. It's more like 60 or 65.
True.
Yep. Let's see.
Yep.
Trying to go through the emails here.
But the Seymour thing is interesting because they do have that kind of wild card that they could allocate some more of that cap hit to 2006 right. than they have right now, and that's coming up the beginning of August, when I think it's August 4th, I think, is the official date. Won't know.
Right, but you can... lower all your future cap numbers by just putting it on this year's cap.
By putting the bonus, that one of the roster bonuses that's due. Now, one member of the organization told me that they likely would not do that.
They will.
But that doesn't mean that they won't. You know, he didn't rule it out. And it wasn't Bill, even though that's exactly how
Bill
would
say it. I wouldn't rule it out.
Even though that's exactly how Bill would say it, Bill isn't the one that told me that.
Okay. Ryan from Fredericton, New Brunswick. What happened to Bramlett from rookie camp last week? Is he not picking up the offense as quick as we would hope? Also, with Brady having surgery for his hernia and needing a brace in minicamp, can we surmise that he took too much abuse last year and needs better protection unless we want him to have a worn-out body by age 30 like Steve McNair?
We don't need to surmise that. It was a fact that he took too much.
He took a pounding last year. And, you know... It's one of those things, and McNair is a good example, and I used to make fun of, believe it or not, I used to make fun of Drew for the same kind of stuff. Sometimes these guys, the pocket passers that have the ability and the intestinal fortitude to just kind of hang in the pocket and stand there and make plays, they don't have a ton of ways to get out of harm's way. Sometimes that almost works against them, and Brady does it a lot. He never gives up on a play, and Bledsoe was guilty of it too, and sometimes you end up taking an extra hit or two here or there that you don't necessarily need to. Now, especially in Brady's case, his mobility in the pocket, I think, is outstanding for a guy that doesn't necessarily have a tremendous amount of foot speed. And he's made a lot more plays over the years by hanging on to the ball and doing that than Bledsoe ever did in doing the same stuff. But the bottom line, the end result, even on completed passes, and sometimes you forget, he takes a lot of hits. And for a guy who hasn't been hurt yet, or seriously injured yet, you do have to wonder if maybe You know, you're walking a fine line there.
And Fred, yeah, I don't know.
What about Corey Bramlett?
Bramlett was at minicamp. I don't think that there was any signs of him not knowing the offense.
I read the notes, and
he can't throw the football.
He hasn't thrown the ball well. I don't think
Todd Mortensen and Corey Bramlett cannot throw the football.
They don't throw the ball.
Significant drop off from the first two.
Okay.
First two look like NFL quarterbacks. Next two look like.
You know, every year when they have four and five quarterbacks in training camp, and you look and you say, you know Brady and Bledsoe were throwing one way, and Scott Mutrin from Boston College was throwing a completely different way.
Right.
That's what Bramlett and Mortensen were doing.
Fred, the third best passer on the football field during minicamp was director of pro personnel,
all right,
Nick Caserio.
Gary from Syracuse, can you guys give me what you think will be the starting lineup for the defense and offense as of today?
That's a good question.
Quarterback, Tom Brady. Running back, Corey Dillon. Wide receiver, Deion Branch. Wide receiver, Chad Jackson. Tight end, Daniel Graham. Tight end, Benjamin Watson. Center, Russ Hochstein. Left
not
tackle, Matt Wright.
Right.
Left guard, Logan Mankins. Right guard, Stephen Neal. Right tackle, Nick Kazier. Is that 11 guys, I hope? Two tights, two wide receivers.
So where'd you go? Light, Mankins, Hochstein, Neal, Kazier?
Yep.
Yeah, the only one I would say that has a possibility of not being in that starting lineup, in my opinion, is...
Left guard.
is Kazier. I think that they're... Could be an open competition at right tackle.
I think there is, and at some point, teams are going to realize what I realize. Brandon Gorn's not that good.
Yeah, but what about Kazier's off-field stuff?
Well, I'm wondering where he was at minicamp.
Yeah, he wasn't there.
Well, he was there, well, presumably.
He was excused
there.
From the action of practice,
right.
Because Deion Branch was the only unexcused absence.
So
that's
we don't know why
we really
he wasn't
know.
There.
Okay. What about defense?
Unexcused.
Nose tackle, Vince Wilfork. Ends, Seymour Warren. Linebackers, left to right, Colvin, Beisel, Bruschi, Vrabel.
That's where it gets a little tougher.
Safety to Bucky Jones, Eugene Wilson. Cornerback, Asante Samuel, Ellis Hobbs. The only little asterisk being if Ty Law signs, he becomes a starter that day.
You know,
I would agree with Andy's depth chart.
I think Andy had an excellent Ask PFW yesterday, and one of the things that I liked was his sort of analysis of where Tabucky Jones will fit in this year. And I think he's right on, you know.
Andy and I are very high on Tabucky Jones.
When
we're
he says that,
the few, you know, and the proud.
Tabucky Jones isn't, you know, or shouldn't be a high-priced safety in this league, but he can be a valuable contributor to this team. He's still a great athlete. And, you know, he's a good safety. He's not.
He's far and away better
yeah.
than Michael Stone or Artrell Hawkins being swapped
right.
positions.
And that's why I said earlier, on paper, even before Harrison gets back this year, I think with him and Eugene Wilson at safety, Wilson can cover. You got Tabucky Jones, who I hope he's improved on his tackling, because that was one of his deficits or deficiencies, I should say. But he's a big, strong guy, and he's fast, and he can play the run.
I was going to say that Tom Casale was a little down on Tabucky Jones when they signed him this spring, kind of not giving him much praise. And, you know, people love that Tom's a super fan when he gets out there. One of the things he said at minicamp was, wow, that Tabucky Jones looks like an NFL player, huh?
He's a big, big guy.
Tabucky's big, muscular, fast. He plays the role of an NFL player very well.
Right. So I think with you know, in this system with certain assignments, I think he'll be fine.
I do
He's
too.
Played well since he left.
Yeah.
He just got hurt. You know, he played well in New Orleans. He had a career year 2 years ago in New Orleans. I mean, people forget
so
that.
I like
it was injuries that kind of led
know,
to his demise.
I think if you were to bring in Ty Law, all of a sudden you got a pretty good defensive backfield.
I think
a lot of talent.
I think you have a very good actually.
A lot of talent.
I mean, playing the what if game. If Ty Law and if Rodney Harrison can contribute on any level late in the season, I think you have the chances for a very good secondary.
Well, I would agree with that. And my one point to...
I mean, it's not just winning the Super Bowl, which you're going to do, but I mean running away with it.
The one point that I would say, Fred, counter to your argument, is without Harrison and without Law, I think you're lacking, you know, the chief. I think you have a bunch
yeah.
of Indians with no chiefs, both at corner and at safety. I worry about Wilson and Jones as a tandem, and I worry about Samuel and Hobbs as a tandem. And without that true, I'm not saying you have to have the label of the number one guy, but I think you saw a difference last year in that secondary when Rodney left, and I didn't see anything toward the end that told me that that question was answered. They played better, yes, but not not to the point where I'd be real comfortable without a guy like Law and definitely without Rodney.
Paul, we both like Tabucky as a player, as a safety, all that. What do you think about him lining up to Eugene Wilson in terms of the stuff you're talking about, being a leader, communication, a presence? Because I'm not sure he has that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure he does either. And I think that he feels like he knows the system. Like, I mean, I did speak with him after he signed, and he says he knows this system better than anything.
But there's a difference between just knowing it and being that solidifying force and making sure everybody else, and it goes beyond that.
Yeah, I don't know if he has that. I don't know if he has the wherewithal to not only know what he's supposed to be doing, but what everybody's supposed to be
right.
doing, the way Brady does, for example, on offense.
Right.
Now, it's a bad example because no one really has the grasp of their scheme that Brady has. But I worry without Rodney. I think that it's easy to say, well, you know, they'll be a year older. And you know, I worry about the impact without Harrison.
The reason I ask is because I think in playing safety, Tabucky Jones is light years ahead of Artrell Hawkins.
That's what I feel.
But what Artrell Hawkins was praised for was being a solidifying voice, consistency. It was almost like it was more what he was able to do between his ears than what he was able to do under his shoulder pads that made him the right answer at the end of the year.
That was only because he has that deep voice that everybody could hear in the crowd.
Yeah, he does have that kind of voice.
He's got pretty deep.
He's got the Barry White voice, yeah. Artrell Hawkins.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Tabucky. I root for Tabucky. He's a guy I root for.
I think, you know why, above all else, I root for a guy like him? Because I think that he is a good person. And you never know for sure, but based on my dealings with him, I think he's a good person. I root for him.
And he's also pretty, I mean, everybody likes to kind of jump on him as a player, but he's so bad that the two best defensive minds that anyone knows, Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, wanted him on their football team. So how bad can he be?
Right. Mike in Florida, in your opinions, what is it about Klecko's skill set that doesn't make him a good fit at inside linebacker? Please discuss ad nauseum. Also, in your guts, do you think the Pats were blindsided by Willie Mack's departure? Do you think they expected him to sign at whatever price they offered, or did he not fit into their plans by choice?
He's short. He's slow.
We're talking about Klecko here. Not,
yep.
Yeah.
No offense to Dan, but he's short and slow.
Yeah, I don't know if he has the
he's quick as an offensive lineman. He's not fast as a linebacker.
I don't know if he has the athleticism to play.
And he's short. I mean, you have to be a certain height to be an NFL player at most positions. And linebacker, I think you get in trouble if you're too short. And I think he is short. Now, there's guys that are freaks out there that can run around and do it. But for the most part, I'm guessing most NFL linebackers are 6'1", somewhere in there.
Yep.
Dan Klecko's never seen 6'1".
No.
It'd be interesting to see.
He'd have to be incredibly fast to make up for that. And, you know, this guy's like, what, 5'10", 5'11"? No, I think he's at least that.
Yeah, probably.
5'10".
But he goes.
I ain't giving you 5'11".
But he's going at 290. I mean, that's
well,
a big
he fluctuates. They had him down to, was it 2 years ago when they really tried the linebacker experiment? I think he was down to 270-something.
Yeah.
But I think
still bigger than the average linebacker.
I think that yes,
yeah.
but
yeah.
I think
I mean not
yeah. but
Levon
distributed
Kirkland
on a smaller frame, yeah. distributed on a smaller frame, so he's that stocky build. And plus, there's a difference between quick as a defensive lineman right over the ball and being quick, athletic, fast as a linebacker running around the field. There's two different skills there.
All right, let's see. Let's see. Somebody write in Straw Milkman. I don't know who that is. I think Ben is very fortunate, Roethlisberger is talking about, to walk away from his accident. His bike was mangled in that crash. But as it relates to his job, I think it should be as it would with anyone else who has a life after work, i.e., health insurance program and 70% of your pay until you return to work. Although, if you look at Ben now with those missing front teeth, he does seem to resemble Jack Lambert a little bit.
How does this work? If I get in a bike accident, I get 70% of my pay?
Well, whatever your disability insurance pays you.
Do I have disability insurance?
I don't know. Do you?
I tend to doubt it. Paul can't join us because he's in awe of the professional bowlers
we
doing all these
tricks
up here.
We don't get anything from here?
Huh?
We don't get anything from here?
I think you get something. I don't know.
You don't have disability insurance?
I thought we had something.
Yeah, you got to sign up for it.
Well, then I don't have it.
I don't remember.
Was that supposed to hit a pin? Because it missed.
He's supposed to convert the spare, yeah, with the spinning ball. And he missed.
People can't see that.
I'm not impressed.
This is a radio.
They can if they turn their TV on to ESPN. ESPN pretty much in every household.
Eli from Kansas City. I know the contract stands in the way. The Pats handle contracts with not overpaying value placed on players and long-term needs, etc. But I have a question that maybe you gurus at Patriots.com can answer.
Calling a girl.
The Colts seem to be the opposite of the Pats, and they just signed another player, Mathis, to an obscene amount of money for his role.
I completely disagree with that. Completely disagree.
Mathis?
Robert Mathis.
Robert Mathis?
First of all, he's an excellent player. Second of all, he didn't get an obscene amount of money. He got a 5-year, $30 million contract. That's not like Seymour's $30 million contract.
And yeah, it was only like, what, $7 million, $8 million up is guaranteed?
Yeah, it was a very reasonable contract.
So I'll continue anyway. So now Wayne, Harrison, Manning, Glenn, Simon, Brackett, Adam, and then Freeney next year. And I thought they gave Brock or Rieger some large payday, too. I just wonder how they do this, and haven't violated the cap or screwed something up at the same time. If the Colts can do this, why can't the Pats work the cap the same way for maybe a special one or two players? Just not to the level of the Colts, because I do believe it's going to catch up with them because of the number of players they have paid so high for their roles and the amount of backdated bonuses.
All right. Should we go to cap 101 again?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. There are a couple of different schools of thought of how you can structure your team's salary.
There's a fat kid on a trick right now. Oh, and the fat kid is laughing his butt off.
The Patriots decide they want to set their
like
contract. The Patriots decide they want to set up their salary structure by having a couple of guys like Brady and Seymour that are awfully highly paid. But for the most part, they have a very even, steady structure. There's not a huge gap between, say, the sixth, seventh, eighth highest paid guy, and then the 45th, 46th, 47th. They have a strong, what they call, middle class. The Colts, on the other hand, have a very big gap in between their top 8, 10, 12 guys and their bottom 8, 10, 12 guys. They have a ton of guys making rookie and second and third year minimum. The Patriots don't have a ton of guys doing that. That's where the difference is. So if the Patriots decided, instead of having guys like Don Davis and Larry Izzo, Mel Mitchell right now, Tabucky Jones, making around $1 million a year. I use this stat all the time. I don't know if it's accurate anymore, but at one time in the recent past it was. The Patriots have more guys on their roster making $1 million or more a year than any other team in the league. The Colts, I would guess, probably don't have that many guys making $1 million or more a year, but they have a lot of guys making like $5 million or more a year. That's right. The way they chose to put it together. You can get under the cap either way.
It's still, at the end of the day,
just a different philosophy.
Right. And for each given year, the teams spend about the same.
You can take a lot of different roads to get to the same place. And the Colts' road hasn't led to a championship, so maybe their way isn't right. I don't know.
Side note from Eli, I read your reviews on Warfield in camp. I watched it for him for years here in KC, and it's no surprise to me, but I still think he might be better at safety, but I will cringe if I see him line up on guys. It will be Starks all over again. But he has a bit more speed and will at least catch up and tackle the guy that just burned him.
Well, let me tell you something. He's wearing number 23, Fred,
yep.
And I got to tell you, there were a lot of times I looked at Andy and Tom and I said, wow, he reminds me a lot of Dwayne Starks.
Oh, that's not true.
And I didn't see him playing safety, right? He was playing mostly corner.
Very little. I didn't see him play. No, I can't even recall him playing safety. I'm not saying he didn't. But most of the times I saw him, he was playing corner. Now, Wilson, we had an emailer earlier. Wilson was playing some corner, Fred. Some flat-out corner.
Oh,
very little. I mean, he didn't do it.
He didn't actually do it. Right. I bet you he played more snaps at corner than safety based on the fact that he didn't take very many snaps.
He didn't really do anything, yeah.
Greg from Winnipeg, Canada. What is your opinion of Ben Watson? With Givens gone, do you think he's poised for a breakout season?
Yes.
You do?
Tom Brady threw every pass to Ben Watson.
Based on minicamp, I'd be stunned if Ben Watson didn't reach 60.
Healthy.
If 60-70 catches.
Wow, 60-70 catches. Wow.
He will be in a fight for the team's leading receiver or number two kind of catches.
They must have thrown, for every four passes, three went his way, Fred.
And some of these are just drills with no defenders. Just Brady can throw wherever he wants, and he threw to Watson every time.
Okay. This is a question probably aimed at Andy. I've been having football a debate related with a few of my friends over which method is better for building muscle and getting stronger, free weights or machines?
Free weights.
See, Andy Hart mad!
See, now I'm upset that I didn't use my normal cheap shot. That would be probably about steroids.
See, I thought the guy was going to say HGH or D-ball or something.
No, give him a little back. Why are free weights better?
Well, first, because you get lazy with machines, and your body is allowed to get lazy because the range of motion is controlled for you. Whereas with free weights, whether it be, I mean, and you can go, there's a lot that falls under free weights. You know, dumbbells, barbells, you know, different benches and things. But, you know, in general, the secondary muscles have to do more when you're using free weights. You know, so when you're doing a dumbbell press, everything else is working too in order to allow you to hold the muscle in the range of motion so it doesn't fall over, you know, in any given direction. So, and plus, you can push yourself more. It's not that structured.
What
10-pound
does 100
plate.
Pounds of free weights equal to a machine?
I don't know. And it depends on the machine, because all machines are different. That's the other thing. You get on one machine.
You use that one where you go bup, 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 real quick.
Which machine?
I don't know which one that is. I forget this one. You put plates on it, but you go bup, bup, bup.
Well, that's the other thing. There's plate-loaded machines and just the old-fashioned stack machines with the pin. There's a lot of differences out there, Freddie.
Yeah.
But the conversion's different. It's like the leg press that you fall in love and ogle Tom when he does. Is no comparison to squatting.
That's pretty creepy.
Fred's
I don't
weird
do
in
that
the gym.
One.
Fred is very weird.
I don't
in the
do
gym.
That one.
No, Fred's more of a Smith machine squatter.
Right.
I love you, Johnny James.
With his girl that he works out with, the big boob blonde that he likes to work
he
out
with. He's obsessed, Fred.
I know he is.
But yes, definitely free weights. And change up your workout. Don't do the same free weight exercises all the time. That'll help you build muscle.
So we have to know who won the bet. Let us know who won the bet.
There was a bet?
Well, it's a debate. Who won the debate now? Because obviously they're relying on your
expert advice.
Expertise.
I was at one time a professional trainer.
Professional trainer?
Yeah.
Of dogs?
No, of people.
Really?
I was a personal trainer for a couple
while
years.
I'm excited where, and where was this happening? Rehoboth?
I will miss
no.
you.
No?
Cambridge Racket and Fitness Club in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
I can see you walking around with your little Zubas.
The Cambridge Racket? My father used to belong to that.
It's a decent club.
Yeah, wasn't bad. I used to go there a little bit.
You used to go there and like help women with their bodybuilding?
Just play a little racket.
Men also.
And then every once in a while you do some lifting and make sure everyone's watching.
You really get clients that way. I got a number of clients where a guy would come up. I know you're looking good. Oh, you see what you do. Wow, you've really gotten stronger. You a trainer?
Was one of those a certain columnist for the Boston Herald?
What's up, Vito?
No, I did not train him. My strength coach at Tufts trained him.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, you think?
Nothing gets by Fred. Okay,
this ball that he threw had nothing to do with his sports.
I didn't notice you were a professional trainer. Now, do you have to get a certificate to be a professional trainer?
It's not that hard. You got to do a weekend course where,
matter of fact,
a couple 12-hour days.
Andy is one of two members of your staff that
Tommy's
professionally
well.
Certified for personal
training. Tom was a trainer or a lifter?
He had just been certified when you gave him the call out of the bullpen.
Oh, so
I'm guessing Mensa from the Bronx is pissed right now.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm also guessing Mensa from the Bronx isn't in Mensa.
This is interesting. We have two weightlifting trainers on our staff.
And one slacker. That,
and
would,
one
be, that would be me.
And one tennis player.
Ex-wrestler. Rob from Arlington. Great job with the coverage. What can you tell me about John Stone? Is he any good?
Paul's going to handle this one when you're done reading.
I also have a question about training camp. Some of the Patriots coaches are known for their use of swear words during practices. Do they tone it down when they know that the fans are watching training camp, or do they let it fly like Fred does
one,
when he talks about Gabagoo?
And a three.
Oh, I saw that.
Take me out
the
to
one
the
we said the Mad TV.
Yeah,
it was a Mad TV
yeah,
skit,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
I saw it.
What's
funny.
The
Gabagoo? Very funny.
He's like, there's no Gabagoo. He's like, there's no Gabagoo.
They shortened it. They condensed like an hour long Sopranos episode into what it would be without swears, and it was like, you know, a 2-minute skit. It was very funny. Anyway,
John Stone.
I thought the receiving corps in general, I watched them a lot during their drills and once they went to 7-on-7s and even the full squad stuff. And I thought the receiving corps, a lot of those lesser known guys, John Stone being one of them, I thought they made a lot of catches, and they, you know, look, they don't have pads on. It, like Andy said, you know, we might see press coverage and see these guys get really knocked off their routes and not have any idea how to handle it. We'll see in training camp. But John Stone's a guy that, you know, they're doing two-minute drills, and all of a sudden you see Troy Brown, you see Rishay Caldwell, you see Chad Jackson, and you see John Stone. He kind of stuck out because who's this number 14 guy? He caught the ball. I mean, I'll get, you know, when you're in shorts and a helmet, you better be able to catch the ball. That's the number one requirement of a receiver, according to Belichick, right?
True.
He caught the ball as well as all the other receivers did, you know, at the time during the minicamp. I'm not here to tell you he's going to make the team because I don't think he's going to, but he definitely made an impression.
Tom Brady mentioned him specifically,
you know, talking about the two-minute drill, and he was out there, and he was taking part in some reps with, like I said, some of the other frontline guys.
As far as swearing during camp,
I don't think they tone it down at all.
No.
They don't even.
But a lot of the swearing is done like in corners, like in Dante's Inferno, which is way in the back.
They do put Dante at the far corner, as far away as possible from fans, and he has been known to.
He
went off on a little tirade at
camp.
You missed a good one. Dante. Oh, boy. Really? I don't even remember who it was that he just completely undressed for about a good solid minute long.
Wow.
But aside from him. Brad Seeley once in a while, Bill once in a while, but Dante and Charlie were the two biggest offenders, and, you know, Charlie's no longer.
We tell you exactly what they said, but we're not allowed to.
Jarek writes in, he's from Toronto, he said, what might Bill or Robert do if they saw Brady arriving at minicamp on a Harley?
Jonathan.
Unexcused.
I don't think they would be happy with it. And I don't blame them for not being happy. I don't want my earlier comments to be misunderstood. I can understand why they would be upset. I just don't think that it's realistic to expect these owners to put their you know, these 20 or 25-year-old kids in and just have them locked in a room and locked in a house and not do anything that might possibly put them in harm's way. You hope that they make decisions that are going to keep them out of trouble and keep them physically well based on the financial investment that you make in them. But I just don't think I don't think that Roethlisberger deserves the criticism that he gets because he was on a motorcycle without a helmet. That's all.
I if it was the first time, I agree, but I think this is something they specifically warned him about.
I'm talking about the perception that, you know, he's this idiot athlete, Fred. I'm not talking about the Rooney family.
Well, I'm not either. I'm talking about a guy who was specifically warned about something, yet didn't.
What
have
if you
the,
found out that Drew Bledsoe was specifically warned about flying in an F-14 and he did it?
Then I would say, you know, shame on him.
Right. What are you going to do? These opportunities come up, you do them. I just don't understand. I don't understand.
Everybody gets a free pass.
The level of venom is what I don't understand.
If it's the players, it gets a free pass. If it's an owner or management,
I just say I can understand. I can understand.
Scandalous.
I can understand the level of concern on the part of the owners. They're major financial investments. I'm not sitting here criticizing the Rooneys for having a conversation with them. I just don't understand the level of venom that's being placed toward Ben Roethlisberger.
I also think a part of it is all the factors came together in the worst possible way for Ben Roethlisberger. He had been warned about it. People found out about it. He had spoken about it in public. Terry Bradshaw had spoken about him speaking about it in public. Everything he said about what he does, I only ride choppers or Harleys, blah, blah, nothing fell in line with, you know what I mean? He was riding the fastest, you know, Japanese street racing bike on earth.
Without a helmet and a valid license.
Right, it was all, everything
came
together.
What's the license have to do with anything? Well, if he had a license, it would have been okay?
For one thing, if you don't, you know, if they don't have a valid license, you haven't taken the test.
Well, he actually did. He just didn't get the, he didn't update the license from his permit.
Well, in order to go, I used to ride motorcycles, by the way.
You're an idiot.
Surprise me.
You're an idiot.
You have a permit, but in order to get your license, you then need to take the road test. So
what? I mean, what? I'm not going
to
argue.
Anyone
with you
can get a permit,
specifics.
But in order to get the road test,
anyone can, or you have to pass a test to get a permit.
Nope.
You're a liar because I had to pass a test to get my driver's license.
Listen,
my driver's permit.
Listen to me. If you have a valid driver's license and you want a motorcycle license, all you have to do is apply, and they immediately give you a permit. You don't get don't get your driver's license changed to also include motorcycle until you take the road test.
That I understand, but I don't believe that they just hand out a permit if you ask for one.
Well, you got to do a written thing, and that's it.
Okay. So you have to take a test.
You don't. I said the road test.
You have to take a test, though, to get the permit.
It's not a road test, Paul.
But you have to take a test to get a permit, yes or no? Oh,
Lord.
Wow, he just almost swore,
he's unbelievable.
You're making
you,
it bad.
Because you just...
You're so unbelievable.
Know why I am? Because you just try to lie and get something...
Lie!
You said you don't have to take a test.
You don't... The road test.
You said you didn't say anything about a road test. You said you don't have to take a test. You just go and apply and they give you one.
It's very,
that's what you said.
It's very easy to get a motorcycle permit if you already have a valid driver's license.
So it's not easy to get a motorcycle license?
You have to take the road test before they'll give you...
But that's not easy?
You have to do figure eights in the road. I've done it.
And that's not easy?
It's not that easy if you're not a good rider.
Andy. How easy do you think that is to do?
I don't
know. How hard was your driver's test?
It was easy.
Okay.
Okay. You sit on a motorcycle.
I have no desire whatsoever to be on a motorcycle.
All right.
This isn't about me.
Fred, but were you an idiot when you were riding a motorcycle?
No, I always wore a helmet, no matter what state I was in.
See, and I also think...
implying that riding motorcycles is just irresponsible and dangerous
not.
And idiotic.
That's exactly what he's saying.
No, I'm not.
You kind of were.
No, I'm not.
No, evidently he doesn't think that Roethlisberger knew how to ride a motorcycle because he didn't have a license.
I think that if you're an athlete, and I think if your livelihood depends on your physical well-being, and you're taking unnecessary chances with your body.
What? But he wasn't. You just said riding a motorcycle is
without a helmet.
So if he had his license.
He didn't have his license.
I said if he had his license, Fred. Would it have been an unnecessary risk?
If he had his license, would it be one less thing that we could criticize him about?
Well, I don't think that's worth criticizing. I think it's worth criticizing.
Driving without a license?
I think
now
it's
that's
worth,
okay?
I think
maybe
it's worth,
it, maybe in
I'm not talking
maybe
about,
where you're from, it's
I'm
all
I'm not
right.
talking about it's legal, Fred. I'm talking about the safety aspect.
Well, yeah.
Because the license didn't have anything
one
to do with
it. One of the reasons why they issue license is because of safety, to make sure
right.
that people go through the proper protocol to be on the road. Now, I'm not saying that Roethlisberger doesn't know how to ride a motorcycle.
It's like, if I've seen it once, I've seen it 1,000 times, the Jason Williams, Kellen Winslow, Ben Roethlisberger. They have about as much to do with each other as, hockey and basketball. There's nothing, really similar about them.
When did I even mention Kellen Winslow?
Kellen Winslow's riding wheelies in a parking lot.
When did I mention Kellen Winslow?
I'm telling you,
saying that this
I'm telling
is like
you about
Kellen
my,
Winslow.
My problem with this situation, Fred. I'm not saying your problem with it. I'm saying my problem with it is that these guys are being lumped into the same situation.
You don't
situation.
Have a problem with
One
it.
Guy was driving 30 miles an hour and got
Five.
Cut off. In regular traffic. Other guys are in the middle of the night in an industrial parking lot doing wheelies.
Stop trying to bait me, Paulie. You know my
I just don't think it's
is.
The same thing, that's all.
Phil from Austin. Dylan is a guy...
I didn't realize that Fred all of a sudden was this unbelievable law-abiding citizen who's all about the law and the fact that he didn't have a license is this big problem with it now.
Okay. Phil from Austin. Dylan is a guy who always carries the ball in his left hand. And is much better running left because he can use his right arm as a semi-lethal weapon. Two things happened last year. He couldn't cut on his left ankle, and Matt Light got hurt. I think he has a chance to be better this year if Matt Light returns and his ankle is healed. But neither of these are certainties. One thing that concerns me a little is that with Maroney as a breakaway running threat, the Patriots don't have any wide receivers who are good downfield blockers, and adding a David Patton or Bam Childress won't address that need. Also, I think Tabucky Jones is a good addition. He was a really good on punt and kick coverage, and he's a guy who laid the wood on Rams receivers and helped set the tone for the defense in Super Bowl 36.
How do we know that Chad Jackson and Rishay Caldwell can't block? Because I don't know the answer to that. Either way,
they might
stink, but I don't know.
I also don't know why Corey Dillon averaged 2.6 yards per carry in the first three games when he had no injury and Matt Light playing left tackle. If that was the reason why he didn't have any success last year.
Corey Dillon stunk last year, bottom line. And I hate that he runs with the ball in his left hand at all times.
Well, if you look at the teams, and I know Paul's going to jump all over me. If you look at the teams that the Patriots played.
4-12 Raiders were tough.
If you look at the teams that the Patriots played early in the season, in their stats against the run, first half of the season, they were all pretty good teams.
Whatever. He had one good game, and it was against the team that ranked 32nd against the run. So if you're going to throw away the games that he doesn't perform against good teams, I'm going to throw away the ones that he does perform against bad ones. But they
see.
All count.
Colin, afternoon. Colin is from Connecticut here. Been a while since I've emailed. Great shows of late. I agree with Tom. We should put Dylan out to pasture, but we might as well line Klecko, Hill, Pass, and Gramatica up with him.
Word.
Got one question. How's T-Buck looking in camp? If Wilson does go back to corner, do you see him maybe gaining the starting job, or do you see maybe the first couple of weeks and then James Sanders takes over? Keep up the good work.
I think T-Bucky's in the mix. I think James Sanders is in the mix. They both got a lot of reps with the first unit.
With Harrison back, if Wilson goes to corner, who is opposite Harrison of those guys?
I would say T-Bucky.
I would say he probably has more versatility and more depth of knowledge, whereas Sanders is probably right now focusing more of his attention maybe on one spot.
And I think
it's
Sanders
with
is
the
a
Patriots.
Strong safety. I don't think he's really a free type of safety.
Yeah,
he's
with
a,
the Patriots, they
the
do so many different things, too. You know, it's hard to say for sure, but that would be my guess. I
don't
agree,
think
I agree
James,
with Andy.
I don't think James Sanders and Rodney Harrison would be a great mix. Or the foghorn. He just cracks himself up by being totally unprofessional.
Because I think legitimately he forgot for a second that we were actually on the radio. Did you? I don't think you did.
Do I need to separate you two?
Well, I think it would have been okay if he had a radio.
Leaning into the microphone. I don't think you did that on purpose.
Leaning into the microphone or leaning straight back by the door?
I'll give it 2 years.
Did you see what I just did?
Well, here it is 8 years later, actually almost 9 years later.
I was actually talking
later,
and trying to discuss football.
I'm finally retired.
Exactly.
Because I enjoy
sorry,
it.
I didn't mean to do that.
I'm laughing while I do it.
Maybe if you had a license. If you had a license to broadcast, it would have been okay.
Tom is right. Tom is right. You're just a contrarian.
Tom is right. Tom has never called me a contrarian.
Let's see.
I'm not even here.
My name is India Quinn Forte from Beantown, Mass. One question.
You're not from
what's
Beantown.
What's going on with Tyler?
I guess you're not from Boston if you just use the word Beantown. But anyway.
I mean, he's a real good player. Yeah, he's getting old, but I thought the Pats were the team in which he would retire. I know money talks, but what would you all do, Fred, Andy, and Tom? I'd get him. If the price is right. I think the Patriots are doing the same thing.
Short-term contract with decent money, and if he wants it, he can take it. If he doesn't, he doesn't.
Yeah.
And if I was Ty Law, if the money is similar, I would come back to the Patriots. If someone else offers me more money, I mean, by more money, I don't mean, you know, $500,000 more or you know, maybe even $1 million more, but a significant amount more, I would go for that.
I
think his legacy is cemented regardless of where he plays his final, you know, couple of seasons. I think he's a great player, and I think if he continues to have years like he did last year, there's no reason to think that he won't be a Hall of Fame candidate, regardless of where he ends up.
If they're in the ballpark with the
I would
teams,
come back here. If
well, I think he will. I think flat out he will sign with the New
I think
England
he
Patriots, or if they're in the same ballpark money-wise as the other teams that are offering him a deal come July 21st or 28th.
This is not like David Givens, where if another team gives him a dollar more, he'll go with the other team.
I don't think David Givens was like that. I think that was Adam Vinatieri.
I mean Vinatieri. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I was biting my tongue on that one because I felt like I was attacking
with
you.
With Vinatieri. But, I think Law will take a little less to be able to be a Patriot and wear 24 here at Gillette Stadium and retire with
I don't know about take a little less. If they're in the ballpark, I don't think, like Paul says, if it's
$7.75 million
versus $7.25 million here, I think he signs with the New England Patriots.
Right.
I think they are in very much in the mix of this.
Right.
Right.
And if there was somebody that was offering that much more, I think he would have already signed.
Well, I don't think he's gotten offers, period, right now.
Why is that?
Well,
Kansas City has supposedly offered him some money,
it's
but
the same
it clearly wasn't in his ballpark.
I think it's the same situation for him as last year, basically. I think it's going to be a while.
Right.
But why? Last year he was coming off an injury. This year he's coming off 10
interceptions. What has he gained by signing early?
No, my question is why haven't teams made him an offer that he was willing
to to pay him as the least amount possible. He's waiting to make the most amount possible.
Right. I think that he's not.
But the longer he waits, I mean, his agent should tell him the less you're going to make.
I disagree.
Why that? Because
the longer he waits, the better chance he has of, Nate Clements tearing an ACL at training camp
somebody becomes desperate like that. But
see,
he's going to get
whatever he's going to get now, he's going to get in a month.
But what if another team that now has an offer goes another direction?
What other direction? There's not a lot to be done right now.
Yeah.
Well,
they're going to sign their rookies to their rookie pool money, so that doesn't affect anything, and there aren't 8 other cornerbacks or high-priced veteran anything's out there to sign.
If you're looking to cash in free agency, Fred, then you have to do it immediately.
Right, right.
Or
season open,
or
right.
wait as long as you possibly can. You have to have confidence to do that. You have to be a Ty Law caliber right. player to do that. But if you don't sign like early March to get the big, big bucks, now you have to play the waiting game and wait to see. Because you're going to get in June the same thing you're going to get offered in July and in August. You're not going to get any less because you're waiting until training camp. So you might as well wait. You're going to get around, you know, he'll get more than veteran minimum, but he's not going to break the bank unless someone gets in a desperate situation.
Mike reminds us that we missed the second part of his question. Do you think the Pats were blindsided by Willie Mack's departure? And do you think they expected him to sign at whatever price they offered, or did he not fit into their plans by choice?
I don't think they were necessarily blindsided, but I don't think that I think they probably were a little bit surprised by how much he got in guaranteed money first year. But I don't. Did they even make him an offer?
No, I don't think.
I don't think they even made him an offer.
They definitely did not make him an offer once the season ended. There might have been an offer on the table prior to the season, but.
I don't think they ever made him an offer.
Yeah.
Not from what we've been told.
They never
anyway.
Discussed contract.
But I was told that they did talk, just not about contracts.
Which then goes to show you they weren't blindsided.
That's the point I was trying to make.
Mac in Somerville, I was checking the Patriots TV schedule for the upcoming season, and I noticed that their lone Monday night game was listed as being on ESPN WCVB, which for those not in the Boston area is the local ABC affiliate. So, does this mean that even those without cable in the Boston area will be able to catch this Monday night tilt between the Vikings and Patriots?
Yes, that's the way all ESPN Sunday night games used to be. Because just for the very reason that you said, Max, not everybody has cable. And the people that don't have cable need to have a place to watch.
Right. Doesn't
the
have
game.
Cable?
In the local areas, I think the NFL kind of made this rule with ESPN that, you know, in that local area, you had to broadcast over the air. So,
right.
But what will happen with the NFL? This is okay.
Yeah, right.
My computer.
What will happen with the NFL?
What will happen on the NFL network? Will if a game, let's say, is a Thanksgiving game on the NFL network
right.
in the local area, will it be broadcast
Probably.
Over the air?
And I would assume that it would be.
Yeah.
Probably.
I would assume it would be.
They just announced a big deal that they're now on the basic tier of cable with just about every carrier.
Who?
The NFL Network.
Really?
Yeah. So now they're basic tier, like ESPN. You buy cable, you get ESPN. Now you're going to get the NFL Network for no extra cost.
Right. That's a good deal.
Yeah. Well, I think now that they have actual games, the carriers...
Well, they need
caved.
To have it. Yeah, they need to have it. I don't watch a lot of NFL Network. Not as much
I
as
used
I
to.
I don't watch it at all.
I used to. I haven't watched it lately.
Fred, new HD channels, though.
Yeah.
Well, Neckin has one now.
Right? Nessun.
Nessun.
Nessun has one. Well,
and
else?
MTV.
MTV.
Oh, yeah.
ESPN 2.
ESPN 2.
Good.
Some additions.
I think those
nice.
Are the three, yeah.
Nice.
It's good stuff.
Dave Luther from Coventry, Rhode Island. Regarding the pool of money
of course,
set
he
aside.
Has Cox.
What's that?
Coventry, Rhode Island. He'd be
yes,
a Cox
does.
Subscriber.
Regarding the pool of money set aside for each team for rookie signings and determined
You're
by the league,
subscriber.
Does the amount pool take into account the number of picks a team has and also where the picks are in each round?
Yep.
Yes, it does. It's not a set pool.
Right.
It's a set pool based on who you have.
Like the Texans, like provided that the Texans had, you know, a pick in every round or whatever, they would get more than, say, the team that was picking 20th and had one pick in every round. The Texans would get more money based on their picks being higher.
It's set once the teams have their picks.
Right.
That's why occasionally there's a little controversy. I know there was something when the Vikings passed on that pick in the first round a couple of years ago. There was some discussion / complaints when they were trying to claim that they had picked, 11th instead of 9th or 9th instead of 7th. That their rookie pool was designed on the higher pick, and if they were going to try to pay the guy the 9, what are they going to do with the extra money, and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So especially because when you're talking about those top 10 picks.
There's a big difference.
There's a big jump from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 as you go down the line, and there's a big jump in the pool.
Freddy,
you're going to
make it?
What's that?
You going to make it?
I'm sick.
What do you mean you're sick?
I'm sick. You can't hear how I sound?
Well,
up until the point where you blew your nose on the air?
Based on what you're saying, yeah, I can tell.
Allergies or illness?
No, illness. Last night I got home and all of a
sudden, I can't talk.
Something just swept over me. I just got hit. Broadside.
Swept over him.
But unlike you, I
feel lightheaded.
You know what, Fred? That was very well put. I'm going to suddenly...
I have a digestive problem.
Renounce all my past
every
arguments.
Every Monday I get the call, Fred. I'm really having
not
trouble.
Not every Monday.
I'm having little trouble on the toilet.
That's not what I said. Not every Monday, but it happens. I got to stop eating so much at cookouts.
Boy.
I have a digestive problem.
That you refuse to get taken care of.
Yeah, that's true.
Joe writes it.
And I want to know who cut my the butt. Cheese.
Joe has a lot of... questions here. I would like for you to address some of the serious questions that have not been addressed so far this offseason.
We're not so good with the whole serious thing.
For argument's sake, I will assume a very optimistic season ahead. This has no bearing in reality, but neither does an infinitely extending goal line. Okay.
A plane.
Yeah, a plane. Yeah. One.
Like in Superman where they lock the guys in that mirror that floats through space. Right. They're just locked in a plane.
Of the losses of McGinnis, Vinatieri, Givens, McGinnis is by far the biggest. Literally, and well, what I'm going to say next, let's assume the Pats win the Super Bowl. Who will fill McGinnis's place in the Three Games to Glory 4 DVD?
Dan Kleinfeld.
Willie added lots of character and life to the sideline scenes. Who could fill this role? From what I have heard, Ellis Hobbs could be a candidate.
OTIS.
Undersized. Undersized guys are harder to pick out of the sideline. Are there any free agent banter specialists available? Is the staff of PFW looking into this? So who's going to hold up that thing for us?
What thing?
Dynasty.
Dynasty thing.
Dan Flacco.
Yeah, he'll be out of a job. We can put him on the staff. You're our official Dynasty cover holder. I don't know.
Ellis Hobbs does seem to be a candidate for...
Rodney's always Rodney.
A talkative sort on the sideline.
Rodney, Roosevelt Colvin.
Speaking of Rodney, when Rodney Harrison returns to Pittsburgh after week 6, he will have an unlimited supply of disrespect to pull from. Nobody thought I could come back. I was too old to recover from an injury like this, etc., etc. You get the picture. But who was going to take this disrespect role for the first 6 weeks?
Dan Kleinfeld.
Must be a defensive player because, generally speaking, offensive players are pansies, with the exception of Tom Brady, peace be upon him, and Corey Dillon, who can sometimes seem kind of scary.
Kind of scary? He's scary.
So who's the new disrespect guy on the Patriots?
Richard Seymour.
No. Vrabel?
Teddy Bruschi. Mike Vrabel.
Vrabel can have an edge sometimes. Bruschi, too. They both can.
I don't really hear Vrabel talk about disrespect a lot, though. You?
Because Rodney's yelling at 15 feet away at his locker, and he's like, I don't need to do it.
That's true.
I
think if Dillon gets off to a good start, you're going to hear a lot of that out of him.
Yeah, but it'll be just be about him.
If he puts up,
it's always about
him.
That's what it's all about with him.
Yeah.
But if he puts up like 300-yard games in the first 4 weeks, forget about it. A lot of disrespect talk coming out of 28's locker.
Three, when Adam Vinatieri returns to Foxborough, should fans give him a respectful cheer for the years of great service, or boo him vehemently for the traitorous traitor that he is?
Cheer.
I would seem that great spiritual teachers of the past, such men as St. Francis of Assisi, Gandhi, and Jesus, would encourage the former, yet the guy with the beer can strapped to his head seems to have a lot of fun, gets to take a stupid break from his workaday life, and gets to blow off steam. I understand that the spiritual teachers seem to be more at peace than most and not have a big need to blow off steam, with the exception of Jesus, but the whole moneylender's table moment. But how many people can live this life or walk on water? Maybe Tom Brady, peace be upon him, but can a mere mortal fan? Are the PFW guys working on outlining a good plan to include respectful gratitude and illogical belligerence? If so, please post it soon so I can start practicing.
What in the hell is this?
I have no idea what that email was even talking
about.
Well,
that's okay. He's getting into it.
He's far too intelligent.
Getting into what?
Cerebral thing.
No, I understand where he's... So what do you think? What will fans do when Vinatieri
cheer
comes in? You think they'll cheer?
I'll renounce myself because you don't respect my opinions as a fan.
I think they will cheer.
I think they'll cheer, too.
What do you think, Paul?
I have no idea what they would do. I would think it's ridiculous to boo a guy.
But what do you think they'll do?
I think they'll probably boo him.
I think there'll be more cheers than boos.
I do, too. I think there'll be some good-hearted boos in there. But
this is what I like, too, like the Johnny Damon thing. We have to be a psychologist to understand what they meant by the boo.
But But I think overall, I think people will
I think
care.
Overall they'll be cheering. And
I
it will
was
be
one
the drunk
the
guys
the
that'll be booing.
Yelling for Flutie. Look, you know.
I offered to renounce myself from this conversation.
Donnie Damon. Because he went to the Yankees.
I think there's
it's
some people that do.
Yes. Who cares?
I hate Johnny Damon, but I hated him when he was a Red Sox.
Yeah, that's true. Andy and I were never really big fans of his.
All right. Since I live in Nashville, I was really looking forward to seeing the Pats play here this year and bring my son to his first football game. Much to my dismay, the game is scheduled for the last game of the season. The Pats will be sitting all the starters with the exception of David I Ain't Givens, I Gettins the money.
What if they need that game to make the playoffs?
He's assuming that they won't.
And I didn't assume that they would. I said, what if they need that game to make the playoffs?
Okay, the Titans don't have any starters. This really sucks. No real comment on this. It sucks. Plus, it will be relatively cold.
Finch Young? I
don't know. They don't have any starters. How are they going to play?
Where's the love from Patriot Nation for Kevin Falk and Patrick Pass? I keep reading references to Falk being only a third down back.
That's what he
Pass
is.
Pass not amounting to much and being a marginal blocker at best.
That's what he is.
I seem to remember both of these guys making serious contributions to this team, including key postseason plays and the Super Bowl runs. I defer to your football knowledge on this, but don't teams need good situational and backup players? If not, why doesn't Bill Belichick either stock the team with 53 first-string Pro Bowlers or just go with the 22 real players and use the same money to sign the assistant senior on-field director of wide receiver operations?
The guy just answered his own question.
Exactly.
He asked why we rip them by calling Kevin Falk a third down back and Patrick Pass a marginalist, and then said, but don't good teams need backup players and role
yes.
players?
No, and my answer to that would
are
be yes,
good
and they are good examples
of exactly what you say
but
good teams need.
I think what his point is that it's the tone in which you guys refer to.
We have praised Kevin Falk more than anybody on planet Earth.
I called Kevin Falk my minicamp MVP, Fred. I thought he was the best player on the field for the 3 days of minicamp.
But I guess what he's hearing is that the degradation of what they contribute in those backup rules.
Well, Patrick Pass, I highly, lost all respect for when he dropped the ball.
I would
be
highly,
honest in that.
I would highly disagree with any degradation that we have toward Kevin Falk in particular. Now, Patrick Pass, I think, is a dime a dozen backup player that you could get Heath Evans to do what he does. You could get someone else to come in and do what he does.
He has contributed.
He has contributed. He has contributed. He's a backup, and he has contributed. But I think a lot of guys could make the same kind of contributions that he has.
Not all of them.
Kevin Falk, not a lot of. I don't think a lot of third down backs in the league are as good as Kevin Falk is at what he does.
Okay. Now, this last one, you guys are going to have to really listen to.
Okay.
I think, in order to.
Just going to talk about God and Jesus and walking
lastly,
water.
I'm still very confused trying to put all of Bob Kraft's speeches together.
Spirituality, faith, and democracy are the cornerstones of our country.
Is it competition or teamwork that makes us strong? Sometimes it seems like the message is we should all work together.
We are all patriots.
But sometimes the message seems that not working together in competition winnows society to greater heights. If 53 people working together can accomplish great things, couldn't 380 million people working together accomplish greater things? But it doesn't really seem to me like the NFL is really, despite the inundation of Shakespearean, the lady doth protest too much, methinks, United Way commercials cooperating with the communities that fund them. Please explain.
And tonight, the Patriots are world champions.
I'm speechless.
I just think that the email is far too cerebral for me. I feel like, you know, like one of those Kevin Costner soliloquies in one of those movies from the 80s where it goes on for 20 minutes and then it's over and then you're like, what the hell is he talking about? I have no idea what the email is talking about. I just think I don't have near the intelligence level to comprehend where Shakespeare comes in and doth protesting too much, and I don't understand what the question is.
All right. With that, we're going to say goodbye.
We'll
see you next Wednesday here, noon Eastern time. Until then, have a good week.